الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، نتم قراءتنا لرسالة الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة للشيخ العلامة المفتي عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله تعالى.
Receiving and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went on to state, we proceed. Then he stated that we're now going to continue on and complete our lessons, our readings throughout this book, important lessons for every Muslim, authored by the Shaykh, the Alam of the Mufti, Abd al-Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala.
في هذه الزيارة التي يسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلها زيارة مباركة وخالصة للوجه الكريم.
On this visit that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make a blessed one and that he make it sincerely seeking his noble face.
إلى الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية في المدينة التي سيذكر اسمها الأخ.
On this visit that is in the United States of America in the state of Massachusetts, the city of Worcester.
أخوكم ومحدثكم وزائركم في الله من الكويت سالم بن سعد الطويل.
And the one speaking to you is your brother visiting you from Kuwait, Salam bin Saad al-Tawil.
ونحن في يوم السبت 24 من جماد الآخرة لعام 29400 الموافق الثامن والعشرين من الشهر السادس لعام 28000.
نعم. And today is Saturday, and it is the 24th of جماد الآخرة in the year 4029, coinciding with the 28th of June 2008.
وما زلنا في الدرس السادس عشر من هذه الدروس المهمة.
And we have not ceased to be in the 16th lesson of these important lessons.
وهو التأدب بالآداب الإسلامية.
And it is acquiring or behaving with Islamic manners.
قال الشيخ التأدب بالآداب الإسلامية ومنها.
And the Shaykh has stated, behaving with Islamic manners, and from them,
السلام,
giving the salam,
والبشاشة,
having a cheerful demeanor,
والأكل باليمين والشرب بها,
eating with the right hand and drinking with it,
والتسمية عند الابتداء والحمد عند الفراغ,
saying Bismillah when you begin and saying Alhamdulillah when you have completed, finished,
والحمد لله بعد العطاس,
saying Alhamdulillah after sneezing,
وتشمية العاطس إذا حمد الله أي أن نقول يرحمك الله.
And saying يرحمك الله to the one that sneezes if he says الحمد لله when he sneezes.
وعيانة المريض.
Visiting the sick.
واتباع الجنائز للصلاة والدفن.
Following funeral processions, praying over them and burying them.
والآداب الشرعية عند دخول المسجد.
The legislative manners when entering into the masjid.
أو المنزل والخروج منها.
Or into one's home and exiting from both of them.
وهذا تقدم الكلام عليه بالأمس.
And we spoke about these things previously yesterday.
من الآداب دخول المنزل الاستئذان.
And from the etiquettes of entering into the home is seeking permission to enter.
فلا تدخل البيت يعني فيه أهله إلا بعد الاستئذان.
So you don't enter into a house where there's a family there except that you have sought permission first.
فتطرق الباب ثلاث مرات.
So
تطرقه ثم تنتظر ثم تطرقه ثم تنتظر ثم تطرقه ثالثا.
You knock on it three times. So you knock once, you wait, knock again, you wait, knock thrice, and so on and so forth.
فإن فإن أذن لك وإلا انصرف.
So if they permit you to come in, they answer you, then alhamdulillah, then if not, then you disperse.
ومن الآداب أن إذا قيل لك ارجع ترجع.
And from the etiquette, if they tell you to come back, to leave, come back another time, then you do so.
فقد يكون لأهل البيت عذر أو ظروف ما يستطيعون استقبالك.
And the people of that house, they may have some responsibilities or some excuses that will prevent them from accepting you.
ولا يجوز لك أن تجد في نفسك عليهم إذا قال لك ارجع.
And it's not permissible for you to like not accept this from them if they tell you to leave.
فقد يكون عندهم مريض أو صاحب البيت مريض.
Perhaps a person that's living in that dwelling is ill.
أو عندهم مشكلة داخلية.
Or they have some type of internal problems.
أو لأي ظروف أخرى ما يستطيعون استقبالك فلا يجوز أن تجد في نفسك عليهم لماذا لم يستقبلوك.
So, or they may have some other excuse. So you shouldn't find inside of yourself any problems with accepting this from them.
والله عز وجل يقول وإذا قيل لكم ارجعوا فارجعوا هو أزكى لكم.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla stated, when they say to you to come back and have time to leave, then you leave.
ثُمَّ إِذَا دَخَلْتَ تُسَلِّمْ عَلَى أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ.
Then when you enter, you give a salam to the people of the household.
وَمِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَن تَغُضَّ بَصَرَكَ عَنْ عَوْرَاتِهِمْ.
وَمِنَ الْعَذَابِ
أَن تَغُضَّ بَصَرَكَ عَنْ عَوْرَاتِهِمْ.
نعم.
دخلت البيت تغض بصرك عن عوراتك.
نعم. From these adab, from these manners and morals is to lower your gaze from looking at their private parts and legs.
وتستر على عيوبهم.
And you cover their faults.
وتحترم أهل البيت.
And you honor, you have reverence for the people of the household.
وهذاك من الآداب الشرعية التي ينبغي المسلم أن يحرص عليها عند دخول المنزل.
And throughout other than that, that is from the appropriate manners that a Muslim should have when he enters into one's home.
فإذا دخل منزله الخاص به,
so when he enters the person's household and the specific individuals of the household,
يسلم على أهله,
so he gives salams to the family of the household,
ويدخل عليهم ببشاشة,
and he enters upon them with a cheerful demeanor,
وترحيب, ويرحب بهم,
and he has joy, glee when he enters in upon them.
كذلك من الآداب عند السفر.
And from that is the etiquette when traveling.
فيقول دعاء السفر.
So you say the supplication for traveling.
ويأخذ معه زاده.
And you take your provisions.
ويودع أهله.
And
يودع أهله.
Now he says farewell to his family.
ويوصيهم بتقوى الله عز وجل.
You advise them to have the taqwa of Allah عز وجل.
وبكل ما يحتاج إليه من وصية.
And every advice that they are in need of.
ويتعلم أحكام السفر من قصر الصلاة وجمعها ونحو ذلك.
And you learn the religious verdicts on traveling, such as shortening the prayers and joining the prayers and the likes.
ومن الآداب الشرعية بر الوالدين.
And from the legislative manners is treating one's parents well.
والوالدان لهم حق عظيم بعد حق الله ورسوله.
And the two parents, they have an immense right over us after Allah Azza wa Jalla.
يقول الله عز وجل وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has stated, and your Lord has ordained that you do not worship anyone other than Him, and that وبالوالدين إحسانا, and that you treat the parents well.
وقال جل وعلا واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has stated, and worship Allah alone, do not commit shirk with Him, and treat the parents well.
فذكر الله عز وجل حق الوالدين وأمر بالإحسان إليهما بعد ذكر حقه بالتوحيد والنهي عن الشرك.
So Allah عز وجل, He has mentioned this right that the parents have and treating them well after His right over us, worship Him alone by Himself, and shirk.
فإن قال قائل,
so if a person were to say,
لماذا ذكر الله حق الوالدين بعد حقه جل وعلا؟
Why is Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioning here the rights of the parents directly after His rights?
ولم يذكر حق الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وحق الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أعظم علينا من حق الوالدين.
And He doesn't mention the rights of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم over us, and the right of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, He had more right than our parents over us.
الجواب على هذا,
the response to this is
أن حق الله عز وجل متضمن لحق الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
That the right of Allah Azza wa Jal is it is connected to, if you will, to the direct connected to, if you will, the rights of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And even with this, there is still no doubt that the right of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is greater than the rights of our parents.
وهنا مسألة مهمة يغفل عنها كثير من الناس.
And here is a very important issue that many people are neglectful of.
أن هناك فرق بين عقوق الوالدين وبر الوالدين.
There is a difference between treating one's parents poorly and treating them well.
فإن كثير من الناس يرى أنه غير عاق لوالديه.
So since many of the people, he sees that he is not treating his parents poorly.
فيكتفي بذلك عن بر والديه.
And he suffices with this as his treating his parents well, obeying them.
فبر الوالدين الإحسان إليهما.
So this بر الوالدين, this treating them well, is treating them, again, treating them well, treating them in a very good fashion.
عقوق الوالدين كف الأذى عنهما.
And treating them poorly means refraining from harming them.
فلا يكفي أن تكون غير عاق لوالديك.
So it's not sufficient just to be one who does not treat his parents poorly.
بل يجب عليك أن تحسن لوالديك.
But rather it is upon you to treat your parents very well, act good towards them.
لذلك أكد الله هذا فقال وبالوالدين إحسانا.
And because of this, in this verse Allah Ta'ala, He has mentioned, and treat your parents well.
ومعنى وبالوالدين إحسانا يعني أحسنوا إلى الوالدين إحسانا وهذا توكيد.
And the meaning here of بالوالدين إحسانا and treat the parents well is to treat them extremely well, if you will. And he stated that this is like a توكيد. This is the توكيد. This is an emphasis. This is an emphasis of treating them well.
فإن قال قائل كيف يكون بر الوالدين.
So if a person were to say, how does one treat his parents well?
فكلنا نرغب أن نبر الوالدين. فكيف يكون بر الوالدين؟
So all of us, we would like, we strive to treat our parents well. So how do we treat our parents well?
فإن برهما من أجل الأعمال التي تقرب بها العبد إلى الله عز وجل.
Since treating them well is from the most noble of actions that a person utilizes to seek nearness to Allah عز وجل.
وفي الحديث رضا الله من رضا الوالد.
And in the hadith, the pleasure of Allah is in the pleasure of his parent.
وبر الوالدين من أوسع أبواب دخول الجنة.
And treating one's parents well is one of the widest expanse of doors of entering into the Jannah.
فهل بينت لنا كيف يبر أحدنا والديه؟
So shall I not inform you all of how to treat the parents well?
فالجواب على هذا
the answer to this is
أن ما أمر به الشارع ولم يحدده.
That was the legislation has ordered, yet it has not specified it, limited it.
فيكون تحديده بحسب عرف الناس.
Then its limit is in accordance with the customs of the people.
فقد يكون عرف الناس من بر الوالدين زيارتهما.
So perhaps it's from the customs of the people and treating their parents well to visit them.
أعطاهما النفقة والمال.
And to give them to spend wealth on them, give them money.
أخذهما بالسفر وترويح عنهما.
أخذهم بالسفر, taking them upon trips and travels and the likes of these things.
إهداءهما هدايا في مناسبات.
Giving them gifts when it's appropriate to do so.
علاجهما يحتاج إلى علاج.
Helping to heal them or help them when they're in need of that.
فالشارع لم يحدد كيف تبر والديك.
So the legislation hasn't exactly specified how you are to treat the parents well, limited it.
وإنما يكون بحسب عرف الناس. فما اعتبره الناس أن هذا الفعل من البر فهو من البر.
But it is something that returns back to the customs of the people. So whatever the customs of the people are in that land, they consider it to be good treatment of the parents, and that is good treatment of the parents.
ما لم يكن هذا الذي اعتبره الناس بعرفهم مخالف للشرع.
So long as what the people here in their customs consider to be good treatment of the parents does not oppose the shara, the legislation.
كتحديدهم مثلا يوم يسمى عيد الأم.
Celebrating Mother's Day, for example.
فهذا باطل.
This is false, incorrect.
ليس في الإسلام عياد سوى عيد الأضحى وعيد الفطر.
We don't have any celebrations in Islam other than عيد الأضحى and عيد الفطر.
وبر الوالدة أعظم من تهديها هدية أو ترسلها رسالة في العام مرة.
And treating your mother well, this affair is greater than just writing her a letter or treating her well for that one day.
بل هذا مما افتعله الكفار.
That this is from the actions, from the normal customs and actions of the kuffar.
لقلة البر عندهم.
Due to the lack of their treating their parents well.
اكتفوا بأن يرسل رسالة يعايدها في السنة مرة.
They suffice themselves with writing a letter and celebrating this day once a year.
وهذا لا شك أنه باطل.
And there is no doubt that this is false.
فحق الوالدين أعظم من ذلك بكثير.
So the rights of the parents, they're greater than this by many.
ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يجزي ولد عن والده ما يستطيع أن يكافئه ولد عن والده.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he has mentioned that no one can actually give their parents the true rights that they have over you.
إلا أن يجده يباع في السوق فيشتري فيعتقه.
إلا
أن يجده يباع في أن يجد أباه يباع معروض البيع في السوق فيشتريه ويعتقه.
To the point that if you were to see him being sold in a marketplace and then he goes and purchases his parent to free him from being sold.
وهذا أمر شبه مستحيل.
And this is an affair here that is likely that it's impossible.
إذن أنت لن تفي بحق والديك مهما بذلت لهما.
So therefore, you cannot give your parents the true right that they have over you, regardless of how much effort you put forth.
لذلك أعظم ما يمكن أن تقدمه لوالديك وهو أمر يسير مع أنه عظيم يسير.
Therefore, from the greatest of things that a person could put forth in order to treat his parents well is something that is great, yet it is something that is easy to do.
ما هو?
What is it?
يسير وعظيم.
It is easy to do, but it is magnificent, it's great.
أمر يسير يا أبا معاذ وعظيم تقدمه لوالدك. ما هو?
This affair that is great and magnificent, yet it's easy to do. Oh, Abu Mu'adh, what is it?
Mu'adh. Huh? Abdu'a.
Nah. Dua, supplication.
Nah. Wallahu Azza wa Jal, Warhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira.
And Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions, and be merciful to them, and just as they were merciful to you when you were young.
والذي ينبغي للمسلم ألا يقصر في الدعاء والاستغفار والدعاء بالرحمة لوالديه.
And that which is appropriate for the Muslim is that he does not fall short of the mark in supplicating for his parents, asking for mercy to be bestowed upon them in the likes.
سواء كان حيين أو ميتين.
Regardless if they are living or deceased.
وقد أمر الله عز وجل ببر الوالدين حال الكبر.
And the Prophet ﷺ is ordered to treat the parents well when they are elderly in their age.
فقال إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما.
So that when they reach this old age, a person says say anything ill to them, no, so you even say the word أف.
والواجب على المسلم أن يبر والديه سواء كان عند الكبر أو عند يعني صحتهما وقوتهما.
And it is incumbent upon the Muslims, appropriate for the Muslim to treat his parents well, regardless if they are in their old age, and they're weak and feeble, or they have good health.
لكن لماذا أكد الله عز وجل برهما حال الكبار?
But why has Allah عز وجل emphasized here treating them well when they're in this elderly, feeble state?
قال شيخنا محمد صالح السيمين رحمه الله تعالى وجزاه الله عنا خيرا.
Our Sheikh Muhammad Salih Al-Rahim رحمه الله in his state, may Allah reward him with all good and excellence.
لأن كبير السن تكون له طلبات غريبة.
Because the one who is elderly in his age, he may have some requests that may seem strange.
فقد لا توافق عقلك وتفكيرك وأنت شاب.
And it may not agree with the intellect of a person that is young.
لأن الله خلق الإنسان من ضعف.
Because Allah عز وجل, He created the people weak.
ثم جعل من بعد ضعف قوة.
Then after they were in a state of weakness, He granted them strength.
ثم جعل من بعد قوة ضعف وشيبة.
Then after they were in this stage of strength, then He put them in a stage where they have old age and they're weak.
فيرجع الإنسان في كبر سنه إلى حال الضعف التي كان عليها في بداية عمره.
So a person in his elderly years, he returns back to that state of weakness that he was in the beginning of his life.
فيضعف تفكيره. يضعف تفكيره.
So his ability to think, his intellect, it decreases, becomes weaker.
ويضعف سمعه وبصره.
And his hearing and his sight, it weakens.
وتضعف قوته.
And his strength weakens.
ويضعف مشيه.
And his ability to move about weakens.
حتى أنه يحتاج إلى عناية من طعام وتنظيف كما يحتاج الصغير.
To the point that he will need assistance in nutrition and feeding himself and cleansing himself the same way he did when he was once young.
وقد يجد الإنسان صعوبة حينئذ في تحمل الكبير.
So some people may find some difficulty at this point in taking care of one who is elderly in years.
فجاءت الوصية أكثر في حال الكبر في حق الوالدين.
So this admonishment, this advice has come more here in upholding the rights of the parents when they are elderly in their years.
وعلى المسلم أن يحتسب الأجر والثواب في بر والديه.
And it is upon the Muslim to anticipate the reward that he's going to receive in treating his parents well.
وليعلم أن هذا من أجل القربات التي تقرب بها العبد إلى الله عز وجل.
And he should know that this is from the most noble of actions that he can utilize as nearness to Allah عز وجل.
حتى بعد وفاتهما لن تنقطع حقوقهما.
Even to the point after they have died, their rights over you have not ended.
فيبقى الدعاء لهما والصلاة عليهما.
You supplicate for them and you send salat, you send salutations upon them.
ويبقى صلة الرحم التي من جهتهما.
And you still maintain the ties of kinship from those that have come from them or related to them.
وإكرام صديقهما.
And you treat well and generous their friends.
واعلموا بارك الله فيكم. واعلموا بارك الله فيكم.
And know, may Allah bless all of you.
أن الجزاء من جنس العمل.
That the reward is in accordance with the type of action.
فمن عاق والديه ولم يحسن إليهما.
So whoever treats his parents poorly, he doesn't treat them well.
فغالبا لن يبر به أولاده ويعقونه.
You'll find most of the time that his own children that he has will not treat his parents well.
ومن أحسن إلى والديه وتجنب عقوقهما.
So whoever treats his parents well and he abstains from treating them poorly.
فسيسخر الله له أولاده ليبر به ويتجنب عقوقه.
Then Allah will grant him children that will treat him well and abstain from treating him poorly.
والمقصود أن حق الوالدين عظيم وكبير ومهم.
And the point here is that the rights of the parents, it is immense, it is magnificent, and it is important.
والإنسان مهما بذل فهو مقصر في حق والديه.
And regardless of the efforts that a person puts forth in this, he will still fall short of the mark in giving his parents their rights.
لكن علينا أن نتق الله ما استطعنا.
But it's upon us to fear Allah according to the best of our ability.
ونسأل الله أن يعفو عنا فيما قصرنا فيه.
And we ask Allah to pardon us for that which we have fallen short of the mark therein.
كذلك من الآداب الشرعية صلة الأرحام والأقارب.
And likewise, from the legislative manners is joining the ties of kinship and keeping ties with your relatives.
وصلة الأرحام من أجل الأعمال الصالحة.
And joining the ties of kinship is from the most noble of righteous actions.
ومن الكبائر قطيعة الرحم.
And from the major sins is cutting off the ties of kinship.
ونقول في صلة الأرحام ما قلناه في بر الوالدين.
And we say about joining the kinds of the ties of kinship the same what we have stated concerning the rights of the parents.
أنه لا يكفي أن تكون غير قاطع للرحم.
It's not sufficient enough to just not cut off the ties of kinship.
بل لا بد أن تكون واصلا للرحم.
But you have to be one who is trying to enjoin the ties of kinship.
لا يكفي أن تكون غير مسيل للرحم.
It's not
لا يكفي أن تكون غير مسيل لأرحامك.
And it's not sufficient just to be one who doesn't act poorly, to treat them bad, to treat your family bad, your ties of kinship.
بل لا بد أن تكون محسنا لأرحامك.
You must be one who treats your relatives well.
حتى لو قطعوك تصلهم أنت. حتى لو قطعوك أنت تصلهم.
Even if they cut you off, you still try to enjoin these ties of kinship.
وحتى لو أساءوا إليك أنت تحسن إليهم.
And even if they treat you poorly, you treat them well.
لأن هذه قربة إلى الله عز وجل.
Because this is a seeking of nearness to Allah عز وجل.
وقد قال الله للرحم.
And Allah عز وجل has stated to these ties of kinship.
ألا ترضين أن أقطع من قطعك وأن أصل من وصلك؟
Are you not pleased to
يقول الله للرحم ألا ترضين أن أقطع من قطعك وأصل من وصلك؟
نعم. Is it not pleasing for you to cut off those who cut you off and to enjoin ties with those who enjoin ties with you?
وقد أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن صلة الأرحام تزيد في الرزق وتطيل في العمر.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated that joining the ties of kinship increases one in his provision, his wealth, and it also extends his lifespan.
فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من أحب أن ينسى له في أثره يعني يطول عمره أن ينسى له في أثره ويبارك له في رزقه فليصل رحمه.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he has stated whoever desires for his lineage for his the effects if you will or if it's for his lifespan to be extended and for his wealth to be increased then he should enjoin ties of kinship.
كذلك من الآداب الشرعية الإحسان إلى الجيران.
But likewise from these legislative manners is treating your neighbors well.
وكف الأذى عنهم.
And refraining from harming them.
وتكلمنا بالأمس عن حقوق الجار.
And yesterday we spoke about the rights of the neighbor.
كذلك احترام الكبار.
Likewise, having reverence for those that are older.
ورحمة الصغار.
And bestowing mercy upon those who are younger.
فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ليس منا.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated he is not from us.
من لم يوقر كبيرنا.
Whoever doesn't honor the elders.
ويرحم صغيرنا
and has a mercy on those who are younger
ويعرف لعالمنا قدره
and who doesn't give the rights to the scholar.
وكما قيل أن العاقل إذا رأى من أكبر منه
and كما قيل
أن العاقل إذا رأى من هو أكبر منه
it is stated the عاقل the one who the person who is smart when he sees one that is elder than him
قال سبقني بطاعة الله
He said, you have preceded me in obedience to Allah. So he was praying and he was fasting when I was young and I wasn't performing these acts of obedience.
الصغير,
and when he sees one who is younger than him,
قال سبقته بالمعصية. هذا الصغير ما عنده معاصي وأنا سابق بالمعاصي الكثيرة.
He says that I preceded him in sinning. That you know, I was sinning when he was younger. He wasn't committing sins.
نعيد الآن مرة أخرى.
I'm going to repeat this.
العاقل,
the intellectual,
من إذا رأى من هو أكبر منه قال سبقني بالطاعة.
Is one who, when he sees one who is older than him, he says that he has preceded me in obedience.
وإذا رأى من هو أصغر منه قال سبقته بالمعاصي.
And when he sees one who is younger than him, he says I have preceded him in sinning.
وهذا من مما ينبغي العناية به احترام الكبار ورحمة الصغار.
And this is something that it is imperative to take care and notice of, having respect and honor for those who are older and having mercy for those that are younger.
ومن الآداب التهنئة بالمولود.
And from these adab, from these manners are congratulating, when, sending congratulations when a baby is born.
فتفرح لفرح أخيك رزقه الله ذرية.
So you're happy with what your brother has been bestowed and given by Allah.
وتدعو له أن يبارك الله له في ذريته.
And you supplicate for him for Allah to bless his progeny.
وأن يجعله الله من الصالحين.
And for Allah to make him from the righteous.
وأن يرزق الله يعني والديه بره.
And that Allah
بره. نعم.
And that Allah will grant this child obedience towards his parents.
كذلك التبريك بالزواج أيضا تظهر الفرح لإخوانك وتدعو لهم بدعاء الزواج.
Likewise, this congratulations at the times of a marriage that you make dua for them and you become happy and grateful during these times.
فتقول للزوج بارك الله لك وبارك عليك وجمع بينكما على خير.
نعم. So you say the supplication for them بارك الله لك وبارك عليك وجمع بينكما في خير.
ترجم الدعاء. بارك الله لك وبارك عليك وجمع بينكما بخير.
So we say the supplication again. بارك الله لك. What's the translation? بارك الله لك. May Allah bless you. May He bestow blessings upon you. And may He join the two of you in blessing.
وتستجيب دعوته إلى وليمة العرس إن دعاك.
And
وتستجيب للزوج في وليمة العرس إذا دعاك إلى وليمة.
Now, so when they have a walima and they invite you to it, it's from these good manners and morals to accept the invitation to come to the walima.
لتظهر الفرح في مشاركتك إياه في زواجه.
So that you can openly show your joy in participating with them in the glee, the joyness, the congratulation of their marriage.
وتدعو له بالبركة.
And you supplicate for them for that they have blessing.
كذلك من الآداب التعزية في المصاب وهو أن تواسيه وتشاركه في مصيبته وتهون عليه بالدعاء وتذكره بما يجب عليه فعله عند المصيبة.
And likewise is giving your condolences to one who has a calamity, and this is by visiting them, making them, empathizing with them, and advising them with that which they should do in these times of calamity.
والناس عندهم أخطاء كثيرة في التعزية.
And the people that have many errors when it comes to these condolences.
فيفعلون كثيرا من الأفعال والمراسيم ويكلفون أنفسهم وينفقون نفقات كثيرة. كل ذلك ما أنزل الله بهم السلطان.
So they do many things and they burden themselves many things, place many responsibilities upon themselves of things that have not been authorized.
بل يكفي أن تأتي إلى أخيك المصاب وتدعو له بأن يهون الله عليه وتذكره الأجر والثواب لمن أصيب وصبر واحتسب.
But it's sufficient for you to go to this person and you strive to make this calamity easy for him and you give him the reminder of what he should do in these times of calamity.
يقول الشيخ وغير ذلك من الآداب الإسلامية في اللبس.
And the Sheikh mentions to other than that from the Islamic manners concerning clothing.
فيلبس الحلال.
So he wears clothing that is permissible, halal.
ويتجنب ما حرم الله عز وجل على الرجال من الذهب والحرير.
And he abstains from that clothing that is not permissible, such as silk and gold for the male.
ولا يسبل ثوبه إلى الكعبين.
And he doesn't allow his garment to hang lower than his ankles.
ولا يلبس لباس شهرة بحيث يتميز به عن الناس حتى يقال فلان ذاك الذي يلبس كذا وكذا يتميز به عن الآخرين.
And he doesn't wear the clothing of fame, so that by wearing particular garments, a person will recognize that this specific individual here due to the clothing that he's wearing.
ولا يلبس ضيقا ولا شفافا يصف عورته.
So he doesn't wear clothing that is tight or that is transparent, so that his urah, that his private parts, are exposed because of it.
ولا يلبس لباسا خاصا بالكفار بحيث يتشبه بهم ومن رآه ظنه أنه منهم.
Nor does he wear clothing that is specific to the kuffar, so that he is imitating them to the point that when one sees him, he thinks that he is amongst them, meaning the kuffar.
كذلك المرأة تستقيم على أمر الله عز وجل وترتدي ما أباح الله لها.
Likewise, the woman, she stays upright in this regard, and she wears that which has been permitted for her to wear.
فتلبس ما هو ساتر.
She wears that which is concealing.
ولا يجوز أن تلبس ضيقا ولا شفافا.
And it's not permissible for her to wear tight clothing or clothing that is transparent.
ولا يشبه لباس الكافرات.
Nor does she wear the clothing of the female kuffar.
يلبس المسلم يبدأ باليمين إذا لبس لبسه كما كان صلى الله عليه وسلم ينتعل بيمينه ويعجبه التيمن.
And when a person puts on his clothes, he begins putting on his clothes with his right side first, as this was the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. This was the practice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He used to like to begin doing good things with the right first.
وإذا خلع يبدأ بشماله.
And if he takes his clothing off, he begins with the left side.
تقول عائشة رضي الله عنها كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعجبه التيمن.
And عائشة رضي الله عنها, she said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to like beginning things from the right.
في ترجله أي تسريحه لشعره.
And combing and styling his hair.
وتنعله أي ابتداء باليمين بالنعال.
And putting on his shoes, meaning he will begin with putting on his shoes on the right.
وفي طهوره وفي شأنه كله.
Well, in his purifying himself and in all his affairs in entirety.
الدرس السابع عشر.
Lesson number 17.
التحذير من الشرك وأنواع المعاصي.
A precaution from shirk and different types of sins.
يقول الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى التحذير من الشرك وأنواع المعاصي.
The Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى says a precaution from shirk and different types of sins.
الحذر والتحذير من الشرك وأنواع المعاصي.
Beware and a precaution of shirk and different types of sins.
ومنها السبع الموبقات أي المهلكات التي تهلك أصحابها.
And from them are the seven destructive sins that those who commit will be destroyed.
وقد جمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه السبع في حديث.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has joined all of these, collected all of these in a hadith.
رواه البخاري ومسلم في الصحيحين.
That is collected by Bukhari and Muslim in the صحيحين.
من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال.
From the hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم who stated.
اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات أي اجعلوها في جانب وأنتم في جانب. جانبوها ابتعدوا عنها السبع الموبقات.
Or abstain from the seven destructive sins, meaning leave these seven destructive sins on one side over here and you are on another side over here.
الصحابة كانوا حريصين على يعرفوها حتى يجتنبوها فقالوا وما هن يا رسول الله.
And the companions, they were anxious to know what these are so they could abstain from them, so they asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what are they?
قال الشرك بالله.
He said committing shirk with Allah.
والشرك مع أن تجعل الله شريكا في العبادة.
And shirk, it is to associate a partner with Allah in worship.
تصرف له العبادة كما تصرفها لله عز وجل.
And you perform acts of worship towards it the same way you perform acts of worship towards Allah عز وجل.
وهذا أعظم الذنوب على الإطلاق.
And this is the worst sin in the absolute sense.
وهو الظلم العظيم.
And it is a great oppression.
لأن الظلم معناه أن تجعل الحق لغير صاحبه.
Because the meaning of dhulm, oppression, is to give a right to other than its rightful owner.
كما لو اختلف شخصان على قطعة أرض.
Such as if two people were, they have some dispute concerning a portion of land.
فتحاكما إلى قاضي.
So they wanted a judge to rule in the matter.
وكان القاضي علم من خلال الأدلة أن الأرض أرض فلان وليست لفلان.
And this judge, he knew, looking at the information he had concerning it, that this land rightfully goes to this one and it doesn't go to that one.
فقام وحكم بها للثاني مع أنها حق الأول.
And then he goes and gives it to the second person, knowing that it's the right of the first.
لمن مقابل رشوة أو هوى أو لأي سبب.
Because of cheating or robbery or the likes of these things.
فهذا ظلم حيث أعطى الحق لغير صاحبه.
So this is oppression when you give someone's right to other than his rightful owner.
والعبادة حق لله عز وجل.
And worship is a right of Allah عز وجل.
كما في الصحيحين في حديث معاذ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حق الله على العباد أن يعبدوه ولا يشركوا به شيئا.
As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned to Mu'adh in the Sahihain that the right of Allah is that you worship Him and you do not commit shirk with Him in any fashion at all.
فمن صرف حق الله عز وجل التي هي العبادة لغير الله فقد ظلم أعطى الحق لغير صاحبه.
So whoever alters his right of Allah عز وجل of worship, giving it to another than Allah, then he has committed oppression.
وهذا ظلم عندما أعطى الحق لغير صاحبه.
And this is oppression to give a right to other than its rightful owner.
وأي نوع من أنواع الظلم هذا؟
And which type of oppression is this?
إنه الظلم العظيم.
It is a great oppression.
قال الله عز وجل يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم.
And Allah عز وجل has mentioned, O my son, do not commit shirk with Allah. Surely it is a grave oppression.
والشرك ظلم عظيم وهو محبط لجميع الأعمال.
And shirk, it is a great oppression, and it is something that renders all actions null and void.
كما قال الله عز وجل.
As Allah عز وجل has stated,
ولقد أوحي إليك يا رسول الله وإلى الذين من قبلك إلى الأنبياء لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك.
And we have revealed to you, meaning the Messenger of Allah, and to those before you, meaning the other prophets, if you all were to commit shirk, your action will be rendered null and void.
ولتكونن من الخاسرين إذا أشركته تكونن من الخاسرين.
And you will be amongst the losers, meaning if you commit shirk, you will be amongst the losers.
والشرك هو الذنب الذي لا يغفره الله عز وجل.
And shirk, it is a sin that Allah will not forgive.
كما قال جل وعلا إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به.
As Allah عز وجل has mentioned, certainly Allah does not forgive that shirk is committed with Him.
ويغفر ما دون ذلك من يشاء. فكل معصية دون الشرك في مشيئة الله. إن شاء الله عذب صاحبها وإن شاء عفى عنه. لَلَّ الشرك فالله لا يعفو عنه.
And he forgives less than that to whomever He wills. Meaning anything that's less than shirk is under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, He will pardon that individual. And if Allah wills, then He will punish that individual.
والشرك يوجب لصاحبه الخروج من ملة الإسلام والخلود في نار جهنم فلا يأخذ منها أبدا.
And shirk, it obligates that a person leaves the religion of Islam and lands in a fire in hell, dwelling therein and never exiting from it, being in it eternal.
ويستوجب له إن كان مخلدا في نار جهنم أن تحرم عليه الجنة فلا يدخلها أبدا.
And it obligates for this individual, if he's from the dwellers of the fire of hell, that the Jannah will be prohibited for him and he will never enter into it.
لذلك أعظم ما نهى الله عنه وأكثر ما نهى الله عنه الشرك لخطورته.
Due to this, the greatest of what Allah has prohibited and what He has prohibited the most is shirk. Is shirk due to its great danger.
المهلكة الثانية السحر.
And the second destructive sin here is sihr, magic.
وأكثره فيه شرك وكفر.
And most of it involves shirk and kufr.
فهو استعانة بالشياطين.
It is seeking aid in the devils, the shayateen.
والتقرب إليهم بالعبادة.
And it involves seeking nearness to them with worship.
وغالبا الشياطين لا يتسخرون للساحر فيسحرون له. وغالبا الشياطين لا يتسخرون للساحر يتعاون معه ويسحرون له إلا إذا كفر بالله عز وجل.
And most of the time that these shayateen, they won't assist this individual and respond to him, give him what he wants and aid him unless he commits kufr.
كان يسب الله ورسوله.
They used to revile Allah and His Messenger. For example, one who reviles Allah and His Messenger.
أو أنه يبول على المصحف.
Or one who urinates upon the mushaf.
أو يضع مصحفين فيجلس عليهما ويقضي حاجته.
As a person who sits on top of the mushaf and he answers the call of nature.
ويترك الصلاة.
He leaves off the salah.
ويستهزئ بالدين وبالأذان.
And he mocks the religion and the adhan.
فإذا فعل هذه الكفريات.
So if he commits these acts of kufr.
تسخرت له الشياطين.
Then the shayateen, they will want to assist him now.
وعمل له السحر.
And they will perform this magic with him.
فالسحر خطير جدا.
So magic is very dangerous.
حتى أن الساحر حكمه ضربة بالسيف.
To the point that the ruling of the magician is that he is to be struck with the sword.
وقد يكون السحر أقل مما ذكرنا.
And it's possible that magic is of a lesser degree than what we've mentioned.
فيخدع الناس ليأكل أموالهم ويزعم أنه ساحر.
So he goes about the people who are doing tricks and devices to take the wealth of the people in these things.
ويعمل حركات يعني خفية يخدع الناس بها بأنه ساحر.
So he performs some actions that are like illusions and the likes, and the people that give him money.
وهذا الذي يعمل حركات الخفية.
And these people who perform these illusion type of actions.
ويزعم أنه ساحر.
And claims that he is a magician.
لن يكتفي على هذا القدر.
He doesn't suffice. He's not sufficed with this limit, with this degree.
بل دائما يسعى لأن يطور نفسه في السحر.
But he's constantly going further into magic.
ويأتي الناس بما هو غريب.
And he comes to the people with that which is strange.
وما هو يعني جالب الأنظار ويعجبهم.
And those things that will make the people look and like surprise and perplex them.
فحينئذ ستتوجه إليه الشياطين وتعطيه قدرات أكبر.
So at this point the shayateen they will come to him and they will give him more ability.
ويؤدي حينئذ إلى أن يقع في الشرك الأكبر والسحر الذي هو بمقابل الكفر بالله عز وجل.
And from this point it will lead him to fall into this kufr and in magic from those things that are from these instructors.
قال جل وعلا وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر.
And Allah عز وجل stated that Suleiman did not disbelieve, but rather with the shayateen that taught the people sihr magic.
الكبيرة الثالثة قتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق.
And the third destructive sin is killing a soul that Allah has prohibited without due right.
والمراد بذلك النفس المعصومة التي لا يجوز قتلها.
And the intent here is that soul that is ma'asum, it's not permissible to kill this individual.
والنفس المعصومة أوسع وأكبر من أن نقول النفس المسلمة.
And this term here, this nafs al-ma'asuma, this soul that cannot be touched, this phrase is wider, more expansive than saying you can't kill a Muslim.
فهو يشمل كل نفس لا يجوز قتلها.
It includes every soul that is not permissible to kill.
وأعظمها قتل النفس المؤمنة.
And the greatest of it is killing a believing soul.
فقد جاء في قتلها من الوعيد ما لم يأتي به كثير من المعاصي مثلها.
And there has come the threat of punishment in killing this individual, much of what has not come in committing other acts.
وقال الله عز وجل ومن يقتل مؤمنا متعمدا.
And Allah عز وجل, he mentioned whoever kills a believer intentionally.
فجزاؤه جهنم. فجزاؤه جهنم.
His reward, his recompense will be the fire of hell.
خالدا فيها.
He will reside therein.
وغضب الله عليه.
Allah will, he will earn the anger of Allah.
ولعنه.
He will be cursed.
طرده من رحمته. لعنه.
He will be cursed. لعنه.
وأعد له عذابا عظيما.
And he makes torment, punishment will be prepared for him.
كل هذا الوعيد جاء في من يقتل نفسا مؤمنة متعمدا.
All of this for the person that kills the believer purposely.
وحتى قتل النفس المؤمنة متعمد تتفاوت أيضا.
And even killing the soul of the believer intentionally, purposely, even this is of different levels.
فالذي يقتل نبيا هذا وعيده أشد ممن يقتل غير نبي.
So the one who kills a prophet, his punishment is worse than the one who doesn't kill a prophet.
والذي يقتل أحد والديه هذا وعيده أشد من لو قتل إنسان غريبا.
And the one who kills his parents, his state is worse than the one who kills someone other than his parents.
والذي يقتل أولاده هذا وعيده أشد فيما لو قتل غير أولاده.
And the one who kills his children, his punishment, his torment is worse than the one who kills other than his own children.
والمقصود أن التعدي على نفس المؤمن بالقتل هذا من أكبر الكبائر.
And the intent here, the point here, is that killing these souls here without due right are from the worst of major sins.
كذلك لا يجوز قتل الكافر المعاهد الذي بيننا وبين عهد لا تقتلني ولا أقتلك هذا لا يجوز قتله.
Likewise, it is not permissible to kill the kafir, the ma'ahad, and the ma'ahad is the individual who we have an agreement, a treaty with them that we won't fight and kill one another.
والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من قتل معاهدا لم يرح رائحة الجنة والحديث رواه البخاري في الصحيح.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he has mentioned whoever kills a ma'ahad, he will not smell the fragrance of Jannah, and this is in Sahih Bukhari, is Sahih.
ولأن في قتل المعاهد خيانة والله لا يحب الخائنين.
And in killing this معاهد, in it is treason, betrayal, and Allah doesn't love those who betray.
ولأن المسلم لا يرضى أن يقتله الكافر بلا سبب. وكذلك هو لا يرضى لنفسه ولا يسمح لنفسه أن يقتل الكافر بلا سبب.
So just as the Muslim, he does not like that a kafir will kill him without due reason. So likewise, it is not pleasing to him that he kills a kafir without due reason.
فلا يغرك ما يفعله بعض المسلمين من سفك دماء الأبرياء وإن كانوا كفارا. فلا يغرك.
Now, so it doesn't harm you.
من فعل بعض المسلمين.
So it doesn't harm you. Don't be fooled by some of the actions of the Muslims.
الذين يقتلون الكفار بغير حق.
Those who kill the non-Muslims without due right.
فهذه أفعالهم لا تمثل إلا أنفسهم والإسلام منها بريء.
And these actions that they are doing, they have just justified it for they themselves, and while Islam is free from them.
لذلك ذكرنا لكم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حذر تحذيرا شديدا من قتل المعاهد. فقال من قتل معاهدا لم يرح رائحة الجنة.
And due to this, as we mentioned, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has precaution, warned against killing the mu'ahad, and he stated concerning it that one who kills this mu'ahad will not smell the fragrance of Jannah.
فهؤلاء بتصرفاتهم شوهوا صورة الإسلام.
So these people, with their actions, they distort the true face of Islam, if you will.
ثم من قال أنهم يقتلون الكفار فقط
ثم
من قال أنهم يقتلون الكفار فقط؟
Then who says that these people they only kill the kuffar?
بل تعدى انحرافهم هذا إلى أن قتلوا المسلمين.
This deviance of theirs it goes to the point where they kill the Muslims as well.
وقتلوا الأطفال.
And they kill children.
وهذا لا يجوز الفعل هذا لا يجوز بحال من الأحوال.
And this type of action is not permissible to do it in any situation in any case.
ومن الكفار من يطلب منك الجوار يعني يكون هو مثلا هارب فيطلب أن يدخل عندك في جوارك ليحتمي بك.
And from ساعدني من فضلك. نعم. And from the kuffar are those who ask you their protection, so they ask to come up under you so that you can protect them.
وهذا يسمى الكافر المستأمن الذي جاءك يطلب الأمان.
And this type of kafir is called the musta'min, the one who has come to you to seek this protection and safety and security.
فالذي طلب منك الأمان ودخل إلى جوارك لا يجوز أن تقتله.
So the one that is coming to you asking for protection, security, it's not permissible for you to kill him.
والله يقول لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن أحد من المشركين استجارك فأجره حتى يسمع كلام الله.
And Allah عز وجل he states to his prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that if one of these kuffar come to you seeking this protection, then grant them this security so that they can hear the speech of Allah.
ومعنى حتى يسمع كلام الله يعني اتلو عليه القرآن كلام الله لعل الله أن يهديه.
And the meaning of so that they can hear the speech of Allah is to recite, read to them the speech of Allah so that perhaps by hearing the speech of Allah they will be guided.
وذلك لأن الكفار كثير منهم بل أكثرهم لا يعرف الإسلام.
And that's because many of the kuffar and many of them don't really know Islam.
وَإِذَا عَرَفَهُ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ وَصَلَهُ بِصُورَةٍ مُشَوَّهَةٍ.
And if it did reach him, it reached him in a way that was distorted.
شوها إليه شوها صورة الإسلام عنده وسأل الإعلام.
And the true picture of Islam was distorted to him by the media.
بل كثير من الكفار تشوه صورة الإسلام عنده بسبب تصرفات المسلمين.
And to the point that many of the kuffar, their view of Islam is distorted due to the actions of the Muslims.
فإن استطعت أن تعلمه الإسلام الصحيح وتقيم عليه حجة الله فافعل.
So if you have the ability to educate him about Islam and to establish the evidences against him, then do so.
فلن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم. حمر النعم يعني أن الجمال أنفس أموال العرب في آنذاك.
نعم. And for one man to be guided because of you is better for you than حمر النعم. And حمر النعم is red camels. And red camels are something that were valuable during the time of that.
ولك مثل أجره لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدار على الخير له مثل أجر فاعله.
And he will have the likes of his actions since the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned that the one who directs towards good actions will have the reward of that person who performs those actions.
والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عاد يهوديا في مرض موته وكان غلاما.
And the Prophet ﷺ visited a person, a Jew who was ill. who was ill, he was close to death, and he was young.
فدعاه إلى الإسلام.
He called him to Islam.
فنظر الغلام إلى أبيه كأنه يستأذنه.
So this youth, this young man, he looked towards his father. It was as though he was seeking his father's permission.
فقال له أبوه أطع أبا القاسم. يعني النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. أطع أبا القاسم.
And the father said to him, obey Abu Qasim, meaning obey the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
فشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله.
So he bore witness that لا إله إلا الله and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah.
ثم مات الغلام اليهودي الذي أسلم.
Then this Jewish child died who had embraced Islam.
فلما خرج منه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الحمد لله الذي أنقذه بي من النار.
And when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was exiting, he praised Allah and said, Alhamdulillah, I'll praise the due to the one who saved him from the fire because of it.
وهذا هو الذي ينبغي المسلم أنه يدعو الكفار بنية أن ينقذهم الله من النار.
And this is how it is appropriate for a Muslim to be, that he gives da'wah, he calls the non-Muslims, the kufar, intending with that to save them from the fire of hell.
النوع الثالث من الكفار الذي لا يجوز قتلهم الكافر الذي يدفع الجزية مقابل إقامته في بلاد المسلمين.
And the third type of kafir that is not permissible to kill is the kafir who pays the jizya tax, or he gives the due right, his due right to that country that he's residing in.
وهذا لا يوجد اليوم.
And this is something that doesn't exist today.
بل الله المستعان اليوم المسلمون يدفعون الجزية للكفار.
But he said, Allahu musta'an, today the Muslims, they pay the jizya tax to the kuffar.
وهذا بسبب ضعفهم وتخلفهم عن إسلامهم.
And this is due to their weakness and due to their turning away from Islam.
الكافر النوع الوحيد الذي يجوز قتله وقتاله هو الكافر المحارب الذي بينه وبين حرب مستمرة.
The one type of kafir that it is permissible to kill is the kafir that we are in a state of war with. War.
فهذا يجوز قتله وقتاله لأن الله يقول قاتل المشركين كافة كما يقاتلونكم كافة.
And this is the one type that is permissible to kill, since Allah Ta'ala has mentioned then to kill and fight, as Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that you fight against them kafir in the same way that they fight against you.
وهذا يجوز قتله لكن لا يجب في كل حال نقتله.
But this type is permissible to kill him, but doesn't mean we have to kill him every single time. Every time we have an opportunity to do so.
كما لو كنا في حال ضعف ولو قتلناهم لا جاءوا وأبادونا فهذا لا يجوز حين يدنا نقتله.
Like the instance, if we are in a state of weakness, and because of us going to kill one of them, they come and just wipe all of us out.
لذلك يجب أن نكون متفقهين في دين الله عز وجل فلا نسفك الدماء بغير حق.
So because of this, it is incumbent upon us, obligatory upon us to have understanding of the religion and to not kill any soul without due right.
ومن قتل النفس التي حرم الله عز وجل أن يقتل الإنسان نفسه أي أن ينتحر.
And from killing a soul without due right is a person killing himself, committing suicide.
فهذا أيضا من كبائر الذنوب.
This as well as from the major sins.
والإنسان لا يملك نفسه حتى يذهب ويزهق روحه.
And the person, he shouldn't get to this point where he takes it upon himself that he just kills himself and just takes his own soul.
وفي صحيح البخاري قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قتل نفسه بشيء عذب به يوم القيامة.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned in صحيح البخاري, whoever killed himself with a thing, then he will do the like to himself in يوم القيامة. He will do the like to himself on the day of resurrection.
وفي الصحيحين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تردى من جبل فقتل نفسه فهو في نار جهنم يتردى فيها.
And whoever the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that whoever kills himself by throwing himself off of a mountain, he would do so repeatedly to himself in the fire of hell.
ومن تحسى سما فقتل نفسه فسمه بيده في نار جهنم خالدا مخلدا فيها.
So whoever kills himself through poisoning himself, then he will have this poison, taking this poison in the fire of hell, residing there forever.
ومن وجع نفسه بحديدة قتل نفسه بحديدة طعن نفسه بحديدة فحديدته بيده يجأ بها نفسه في نار جهنم خالدا مخلدا فيها.
So whoever takes an iron rod and he kills himself with it, then he as well, he will be doing the same action to himself in the fire of hell.
فلا يقال أن إنسان يملك نفسه وهو حر في نفسه يفعل ما شاء. كلا.
And so a person cannot say that he just has total right and sovereignty over his own self and he can just do with himself whatever he feels like doing.
الكبيرة الرابعة أكل الربا, والربا هو الزيادة المشروطة مقابل تأخير السداد, كلما تأخر زاد عليه, هذا من كبائر الذنوب.
And this fourth major sin here is riba, and riba here is ziyada. It is an increase on taking. It is taking more than what you were supposed to take, more than what you earned.
هذا أكل الربا وموكله ملعونان على لسان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The person who gives it and takes it, both of these individuals are cursed by Allah and by the Sultan Riba.
كما قال النبي كما قال جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما في صحيح مسلم.
As Jabir bin Abdullah stated in Sahih Muslim.
لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكل الربا وموكله وكاتبه وشاهديه وقال هم سواء.
He stated that Prophet ﷺ, he has cursed. He is cursed the individual who gives the riba, who takes the riba, who records it, and the ones who bear witness to it.
وَاللَّهُ يَقُولُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla stated, "Ya
اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا اتركوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا."
He said to fear Allah and to leave off riba if you are truly from the mu'mineen, if you are truly from amongst the believers.
فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ.
And if you do not do it, then Allah and His Messenger, they have waged war against you.
ويقول الله عز وجل وحل الله البيع وحرم الربا.
And Allah عز وجل, He has stated that He has permitted business transactions and He has prohibited riba.
لأن الكفار قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا.
Because the kuffar, they stated that بيع, these business transactions, this is like riba.
كما أن لو شريت سلعة بألف وبعتها بألف ومائتين فقد كسبت مائتين.
Just for example, if you were to buy some product for 1,000 and you would sell it for 1,200, then you would profit 200.
كذلك لو أعطيت دينا لشخص ما ألف ثم يرجعه ألف ومائتين فقد كسبت مائتين.
Likewise, if you were to take a loan from someone, you were indebted to someone, you take $1,000 from them and you pay them back 200 on top of that, then likewise, you've profited 200.
فقال إنما البيع مثل الربا.
So they say that business transactions is just like riba.
فرد الله عليهم بشيء واحد.
So Allah refuted them with one thing.
بقوله وحل الله البيع وحرم الربا.
With this statement, Allah has permitted business transactions and He has prohibited riba.
والفرق بين الحلال والحرام.
And the difference between the halal and the haram.
أن الحرام حرمه الله منعنا منه والحلال أحله الله أباحه لنا.
And that the haram are those things that have been prohibited for us, we can't get involved in, and those things that are halal are permitted for us.
فلو قال قائل ما الفرق أن أتزوج خالتي أو أن أتزوج ابنة خالتي.
And a person would say, what's the difference between marrying my aunt and marrying the cousin, the daughter of my aunt?
هذه امرأة وهذه امرأة.
This is a woman and that's a woman.
وهذه خالتي وهذه بنت خالتي.
And this is my aunt and this is the daughter of my aunt.
فلا جواب لنا عليه إلا أن نقول.
So we don't have any answer for him except that we say.
حرم الله الزواج من الخالة وأباح الزواج من بنت الخالة.
That Allah has prohibited marrying the aunt and He has permitted to marry the daughter of the aunt, the cousin.
ما الفرق بين هذا وهذا؟
Says, what's the difference between this and that?
نقول الفرق بين هذا وهذا أن هذا حرمه الله وهذا أباحه الله.
We say the difference between this and that is that this one Allah has prohibited and that one Allah has permitted.
ولو قال قائل ما الفرق بين لحم الخنزير ولحم الشاة؟
And a person were to say, what's the difference between the meat of a pig and the meat of a sheep?
نقول هذا حرمه الله وهذا أباحه الله.
We say this has been prohibited by Allah and this one has been permitted by Allah.
فالكفار قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا.
So the kuffar, they say that business transactions are just like riba.
فرد الله عليهم وقال وحل الله البيع وحرم الربا.
And Allah, He refuted them by saying that Allah had permitted business transactions while He had prohibited riba.
فمن جاءته موعظة من ربه فمن جاءه موعظة من ربه فانتهى ترك الربا فله ما سلف وأمره إلى الله. فمن جاءه موعظة من ربه يعني موعظة وعظه الله ترك.
So whoever takes the admonition from his Lord and he leaves it,
فله ما سلف اللي مضى وأمره إلى الله.
So that which has passed and is affairs left to Allah.
ومن عاده إلى القول بأن البيع مثل الربا فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون.
So whoever now comes back to the statement that business transaction is just like riba, then these people are dwellers of the fire now.
ويقول الله عز وجل الذين يأكلون الربا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس. أي كالذي صرعه جني وأصيب بالمس هكذا يقوم أكل الربا من قبورهم يوم القيامة.
that the people who involve themselves in riba, they will be resurrected on their resurrection, the same way that a person who was touched by a jinn, a person who was possessed by a jinn, has these epileptic fits and the likes.
وفي صحيح البخاري رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا يعذب.
In the Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw a man was being punished.
وأنه يسبح بنهر كالدم. يسبح swim.
نعم.
نهر
كالدم. he saw him swimming in this pool of blood, this river of blood.
وعلى حافة النهر رجل بيده حجارة.
And on the banks of the river there was a man who had these stones.
فكلما سبح هذا في النهر كالدم وقرب عند ساحل النهر ألقمه ذاك الرجل حجارة في فمه.
So every time this man would swim and he would get towards the banks of the river, the man who was standing there at the banks of the river with that stone would throw the stone into his mouth.
فيرجع.
So he would go back.
ثم يسبح مرة أخرى في نهر كالدم.
And then he would have to swim again in this river of blood.
فإذا اقترب ألقمه حجرا.
So then when he reached the banks again, this person, he throws this stone.
وهكذا يعذبه.
And this is how this one was punished.
في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة.
On a day whose length is the length of 50,000 years.
فسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحان الله ما هذا؟
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he asked, he said, what are these two individuals?
فقيل هذا الذي يأكل الربا.
He said, this is the one who takes eats riba.
فالربا من كبائر الذنوب.
So riba is from the major sins.
الواجب على المسلم أن يتوب إلى الله تبارك وتعالى.
And it's obligatory upon the Muslim to repent to Allah تعالى.
وجاء فيه من الوعيد ما لم يأتي مثله في كثير من المعاصي.
And a person is under threat of punishment committing his riba that the likes of many other sins don't have these types of threat of punishments.
وأكل مال اليتيم. اليتيم من فقد أباه قبل البلوغ.
And taking the wealth of the orphan, and the orphan is the one whose father has died before he reached the age of puberty.
وحق اليتيم أن يرحم.
And the right of the orphan is that you are merciful to him.
وألا يقهر.
And not to be not to transgress the bounds concerning him.
كما قال جل وعلا فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر.
As Allah Ta'ala stated, and as for the orphan, then don't transgress the bounds concerning him.
ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحرج عليكم الضعيفين. يعني أنتم في حرج إن اعتديتم على هذين الضعيفين أحرج عليكم الضعيفين.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated أحرج that two things is now there are two things that are forbidden for you to transgress.
المرأة واليتيم.
The woman and the orphan.
يقول الله عز وجل الذين يأكلون أموال اليتامى ظلما.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentions about the one who takes the wealth of the orphan in a way that is wrongful.
إنما يأكلون في بطونهم نارا وسيصلون سعيرا.
They're only ingesting, eating inside of themselves, inside of their stomachs, a fire.
فمن ولي مال يتيم فليتق الله عز وجل فيه.
So whoever has responsibility of an orphan, then he needs to fear Allah concerning him.
فإن كان فقيرا فليأكل بالمعروف بقدر ما يعني يدير هذا العمل مقابل إدارة العمل يأكل فيستحق فقط.
And whoever is a person who is poor, then he takes from the wealth of the orphan only that which he is in need of taking that more than him.
وإن كان غنيا فليستعفف فيستغني عن هذا المال.
And if he is one who has wealth, then he frees himself. He doesn't take any of the wealth of this orphan.
ولا يقول قائل أخذ مال اليتيم لكن لا أكله أتصرف فيه كأن أشتري سيارة أو نحو ذلك.
And the person shouldn't say that I'm not going to just take the wealth of this orphan for myself and I'm going to utilize it to buy a car or the likes of these things.
فيقال حينئذ.
So it is stated here.
إن الأكل هو من أخص حاجات الإنسان إذا ما أكل يهلك.
And that eating is from the specific things that one is in need of. If one doesn't eat, then he's going to perish.
فإذا كان لا يجوز أن تأخذ مال اليتيم بغير حق وتأكله فكيف يجوز أن تأخذه وتعبث به أو تترفه به؟ هذا أشد حرمة.
So if it's not permissible to take the wealth of the orphan and to eat with it, then how much more the one who takes the wealth of the orphan and he spends it on other things.
الكبيرة السادسة التولي يوم الزحف يعني أن ينهزم الإنسان أمام المشركين مع قدرته على قتالهم ينهزم ويوليهم دبرا هذا لا يجوز.
And the next major sin here is the one who turns his back on the battlefield, on the day of fighting, on the battlefield. When it's time to fight, he turns his back and runs away.
إلا إذا كان متحرفا للقتال يعني حرفة القتال تقتضي أنه يكر ويفر هذا لا بأس أن يكر حتى يرجع ويقاتل.
Except for the one who he's only fleeing as I guess some sort of strategy, perhaps just to flee to come back around and to fight him again. Then in this case, it's permissible.
أو متحيزا إلى فئة يعني يهرب من هذا المكان حتى يلتحق بفئة أخرى ويقاتل به الكفار.
Or he leaves off a group of them, leave off in order to attack another group of the kuffar in the light of these things. Then this is permissible.
أما إذا كان لغير سبب مجرد انهزام أمام المشركين وإخذال وتخذيل للمسلمين فهذا من كبائر الذنوب.
But as for if his fleeing on the battlefield is because of it's going to belittle the Muslims or give strength to the kuffar in the light of these things, and he turns everyone's on the battlefield, then it's not permissible to do this in this fashion.
الكبيرة السابعة قذف المحصنات الغافلات المؤمنات. القذف نرابي الاتهام أن تقذف عليها التهمة تقول فلانة زانية.
And the seventh major destructive sin is to falsely accuse the chaste believing women of committing vile acts.
المحصنات يعني المرأة العفيفة المعروفة في عفتها واستقامتها.
And the muhsanat, these are the chaste, they are chaste women.
الغافلات الغافل عن الفاحشة لا تعرف فواحش ولا تذهب أماكن فواحش ولا تظهر مثلا مع الراقصات ولا مع الممثلات وإنما هي امرأة مستورة في بيتها فيأتي إنسان ويتهمها بالفاحشة.
And the ghafilat, these are the women who they are free from fawahish, from vile heinous acts, and they don't go out and commit things that are wrongful and simple, but rather they are inside of their homes and they're doing well, and the people falsely accuse them.
المؤمنات يعني لو قذف كافرة فلا يكون قد بلغ الذنب الذي يبلغه فيما لو اتهم وقذف مؤمنة.
And the mu'minat, the believing woman here, this means that to falsely accuse a believing woman, if a person were to falsely accuse a kafir, a disbelieving woman, it wouldn't be to the same degree as accusing the mu'minat, the believing woman.
وهذا القاذف إذا قذف واتهم غيره بالزنا فيلزمه أن يأتي بأربعة شهود.
And this is the one who is falsely accused. If this person makes this false accusation like this about this woman or a person committing zina fornication, then it's for him to bring four witnesses.
يشهدون بأنهم قد رأوا هذا الرجل يزني بهذه المرأة. زنا واضح بلا لبس.
And they have to, these four witnesses, they have to take this witness, this testimony that they saw these two people committing fornication and it was clear, there was no ambiguities concerning the matter.
لا يكفي الظن.
It's not sufficient to just have a suspicion.
ولا يعتمد التصوير.
And
ولا تصوير.
تصوير. نعم it's not. And nor is it sufficient to have a picture.
وإنما يعتمد شهود أربع شهود يرونه يفعل الزنا.
But what is incumbent here, you have to have four actual individuals that actually witness the acts of fornication itself.
فحينئذ يجوز الإنسان يقول فلان زاني وقد رأينا وإحنا أربعة.
And in this case here, it's permissible for a person to say that this person committed fornication and we have four witnesses that saw it.
ويجوز للزوج خاصة أن يقذف زوجته إذا رآها تزني وشاهدته عن أربع شهادات.
And it's permissible for the spouse specifically to if the spouse sees the other spouse fornicating without having the four witnesses.
يشهد أربع شهادات بالله إنه رآها تزني وإنه من الصادقين.
So he testifies to Allah four times that he is from the truthful and that he saw this act.
والخامسة أن لعنة الله عليه إن كان من الكاذبين.
And the fifth, he invokes Allah to curse him if he is lying.
فحينئذ ترجم بالحجارة حتى الموت.
So here this person is stoned to death.
إلا إذا هي الأخرى شهدت أربع شهادات بالله إنه لمن الكاذبين. إلا إذا هي شهدت أربع شهادات بالله. أشهد بالله العظيم أشهد بالله العظيم أشهد بالله العظيم أربع مرات إنه كاذب.
Except that if there is the other person here bears witness four times, I bear witness four times that this person is lying.
وتشهد الخامسة أن غضب الله عليها إن كان من الصادقين.
And the fourth time you they ask for the anger of Allah upon her if she is a liar.
ثم يفرق بينهما إلى الأبد من غير طلاق. خلاص كل واحد يذهب.
Then the two of them they separate from one another forever, eternally, without having a divorce.
إن شهد عليها وأبت هي أن تشهد أربع شهادات فيقام على الحد وترجم بالحجارة.
So this one that bears these four testimonies, these four bearing witnesses against him, is sworn by Allah like this, and the spouse who does this, the other spouse is stoned to death.
أما القاذف الذي يتهم غيره
Now, instead of the brothers advising, instead of saying spouse and spouse, they say husband and wife. Here in this matter. Now.
أما القاذف الذي يتهم غيره وليس له بينة أربع شهود.
As for another individual who makes this accusation and he doesn't have the four witnesses.
أو كان زوجا وأبى أن يلاعن أربع شهادات.
Or the person was the husband and he refused to bear witness and take his testimony four times.
هذا يسمى قاذف.
This
يعني متهم لغيره بالفاحشة.
This person is one who's considered one who falsely accuses another of committing vile heinous acts.
وفعلته هذه يقال عنها القذف.
And this type of action is called قذف, a false accusation.
وليس عنده بينة.
And there's no clarification, there's no proof evidence for it.
ما هي البينة؟
What is the evidence?
أن يأتي بأربعة شهداء يصفون الزنا يقول نعم رأيناه يزني.
To come with four witnesses, and these four witnesses say, "Yes, I saw this individual actually committed the act of fornication."
ولم يكن أو أنه زوج لكن أبى أن يلاعن.
Or there is the husband is there, but he refuses to bear these four witnesses and invoke a curse upon himself.
هذا يسمى قاذف وعقوبته.
This person is called one who falsely accuses, and his punishment is
أن يجلد 80 جلدة.
80
جلدة.
نعم, and he needs to be lashed or flogged 80 times.
ولا تقبل له شهادة أبدا.
And a witness is not to be accepted from him ever after that.
وهو في الآخرة وهو من الفاسق ويعتبر من الفاسقين.
And he is considered to be amongst the فاسقين, the disobedient.
ومن العقوق غير السبع التي ذكرت في الحديث في حديث أبي هريرة عقوق الوالدين.
And from those عقوق from these simple acts that have been
ومن الكبائر سوى ما ذكرنا من السبعة عقوق الوالدين.
And from these kabair, from these major sins that have not been mentioned here is treating the parents poorly.
فعقوق الوالدين من أكبر الكبائر.
Since treating the parents poorly is from the greatest of major sins.
كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث أبي بكرة رضي الله عنه.
As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated in the hadith of Abi Bakr رضي الله عنه,
قال ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر؟ ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر؟
Shall I inform you of what the greatest of the greatest sins are? Shall I inform you what the greatest of the greatest sins are?
قالوا بلى يا رسول الله.
He said, certainly, O Messenger of Allah.
قال الشرك بالله.
He said, committing shirk with Allah.
وعقوق الوالدين.
And treating the parents poorly.
وشهادة الزور, شهادة الكذب.
And taking a false witness.
فهذا حديث صحيح في الصحيحين صريح بأن أكبر الكبائر عقوق الوالدين أو من أكبر الكبائر عقوق الوالدين.
And this hadith is sahih, it's in the sahihain, and in it is a clear text that shows that from the greatest of the major sins is treating the parents poorly.
ومن الذنوب التي يعجل الله عز وجل عقوبة صاحبه في الدنيا العقوق. ومن الذنوب التي يعجل الله عقوبة لصاحبه العقوق.
And from the sins that a person can commit that Allah will bring the punishment to the person fast in life of this world is treating the parents poorly.
ومنها قطيعة الرحم.
And from it is breaking the ties of kinship.
فالله عز وجل يقطع من قطع رحمه.
And Allah عز وجل cuts off the one who breaks or cuts off the ties of kinship.
وقاطع الرحم ملعون.
And the one who cuts off the ties of kinship is cursed.
ومنها وقد تقدم الكلام عن صلة الرحم وقطيعة الرحم لأن شهادة الزور شهادة الكذب.
And We've already spoken previously about the breaking off the ties of kinship. Now we're speaking about this false witness, this false testimony here. This is from the major sins, as we have stated in the hadith of Abu Bakr that is preceded.
الصحيحين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر قالوا بلى يا رسول الله.
And as has come in this hadith in the Sahihain, where the Prophet ﷺ said, I inform you of the most major sins, and he says, certainly the Messenger of Allah.
قال عليه الصلاة والسلام الإشراك بالله وعقوق الوالدين وقول الزور وشهادة الزور.
And the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned committing shirk with Allah, treating the parents poorly, and taking a false witness.
وأخذ يكررها ألا وقول الزور وشهادة الزور ألا وقول الزور وشهادة الزور.
And he began repeating it. He says that the false statement and the false witness, the false statement and the false witness.
وكان متكيا يعني أصله هو متكي ويتكلم فلما قال شهادة الزور جلس وأخذ يكرر شهادة الزور شهادة الزور حتى قالوا ليته سكت.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was reclining when he said this, and when it came to the shahada of Zor, this false witness, he sat up and began repeating it, shahada to Zor, this false witness, to the point that he said, I wish that he would stop.
يعني قال ليته سكت أشفق عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كثرة ما هو يؤكد شهادة الزور ويحذر منها.
So he said that he wished that he would stop out of this this emotion that he had, if you will, the way it was making him feel, that if him keep saying like this, there's this false witness repeating it like that.
لأن شهادة الزور بسببها تضيع الحقوق.
Because of this false witness, the people's rights are neglected.
فقد يستمع البعض فيشهدون بأن فلان هو القاتل فيقتل أو يسجن.
So a person may come take a false witness saying that someone killed this individual when he didn't, and because of this false witness he may be imprisoned or he may be killed.
أو يشهدون بأن فلان هو الذي اعتدى هو الذي بدأ بالاعتداء وهو ليس كذلك.
And, or this person, a person may take a false witness saying that he's the one that began the transgression, when in fact this was not the case.
أو يشهدون أن فلان كان سهرانا معهم وهو لم يكن عندهم بل هو الذي ذهب وارتكب الجريمة الفلانية فشهدوا زورا. أن فلانا كان عندهم لم يكن في الساعة الفلانية وقت الجريمة إلا كان عندهم بحيث حتى يبرئونه.
So a person may take a false witness saying that he was there, he witnessed a particular crime, when in fact the person was in another place and he didn't witness the crime.
أو يشهد أن نعم رأينا فلان يعطي المبلغ أو أعطاه الثمن.
When in fact he committed the crime. Or the other way around. When a person takes this false witness that the person was with them, when in fact he did commit the crime, he takes the false witness that he was with them, he didn't commit the crime.
المهم شهادة الزور شهادة الكذب التي تغطب عليها ضياع حقوق الناس ضياع أموالهم ودماءهم وأعراضهم فهذه من كبائر الذنوب.
And the point here is with this false witness is that it caused the rights of the people to be neglected, their rights concerning their blood, their wealth, and their honor, and it is something that is from the major sins.
ومن الكبائر الأيمان الكاذبة أن يحلف الإنسان وهو كاذب.
And from the major sins here is taking a false oath for a person to swear and he's lying.
تقدم معنا أن الكذب من كبائر الذنوب وأنه من أخلاق وصفات المنافقين.
And it's already preceded that the lying is from the major sins, it's from the characteristics of the hypocrites, the munafiqin.
كما في حديث آية المنافق ثلاث إذا حدث كذب.
As it's come in the hadith of Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that the signs of the munafiq, the hypocrite, are three. When he speaks, he lies.
وحديث أربع من كنا فيه كان منافقا خالصا ومن كان في خاصة منهن كان في خاصة من النفاق. إذا حدث كذب.
And it's come in another hadith, whoever has four characteristics, then he is a hypocrite, and whoever has one of them, he has a characteristic of a hypocrite until he leaves it off, and then the Prophet ﷺ states, when he speaks, he lies.
وَيَشْتَدُّ الْإِثْمُ إِذَا كَذَبَ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَقْسَمَ بِاللَّهِ يَمِينًا عَلَى كَذِبَهُ.
And this sin here, it is like it's worse, it's increased. If a person is lying and then he comes back and he swears, takes an oath on this lie.
ويشتد أكثر وأكثر إذا كذب وأقسم بالله على الكذب وكان هذا كذبه ليأخذ حقوق الآخرين هذا أشد وأشد وأشد.
And it's worse and worse and worse if this person is lying, that he swore on that lie, and through him swearing on his lie, he's taking the rights of the people. This is worse, worse on top of worse.
وفي الصحيحين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من اقتطع حق امرئ بيمينه حرم الله عليه الجنة وأدخله النار.
And the Prophet ﷺ has stated that whoever takes the rights of the people through swearing that is a lie, then this person will be prohibited from entering into Jannah. He will land, he will dwell in the fire of hell.
والمقصود بيمينه يعني بالحلف الكاذب أن يحلف يمينا حتى يأخذ حقوق الآخرين.
And the meaning of بيمينه, taking this oath here, is that he takes an oath and he's lying in that so that he can take the rights of others.
وليس المراد بيمينه يعني بيده اليمنى.
And the meaning of يمين here doesn't mean his right hand.
فلا يفهم أحد من هذا الحديث معنى يمينه أي يده اليمنى فيذهب ويسرق بشماله.
So a person shouldn't understand from this that it means his right hand, so he doesn't use his right hand, but he goes with the left hand and then he goes steal something.
كلا وإنما المراد بيمينه يعني أن يقسم يمينا بأن الشيء الفلاني من حقي.
But rather, what is meant by يمين, an oath here, is that the person actually swears that this is for my rights.
ما عقوبته؟
What is his punishment?
قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حرم الله عليه الجنة وأدخله النار.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated that he will be prohibited from entering into the Jannah and that he will be entered into the fire of hell.
قالوا يا رسول الله ولو كان شيئا يسيرا.
They said, O Messenger of Allah, even if it is something light and small.
قال ولو كان عودا من أراك لو كان مسواكا يقسم بالله أنه له وهو ليس بله فهذا وعيده حرم الله على الجنة وأدخله النار.
So even if it's something that's over like a stick or a piece of wood or a swag or like these things, he will be prohibited from Jannah and he will enter into the fire of hell.
ولما في اليمين بالله مع الكذب استهانة بالله عز وجل.
And in this, taking this swearing, taking this false oath like this, in it is having a disdain for Allah عز وجل.
فهؤلاء الذين يشترون بأيمانهم وعهدهم ثمنا قليلا.
So these people, they purchase with their oaths and their swearing, they only purchase they only gain ثمنا قليلا, like a small value, small profit.
ومن ذلك من هذه الكبائر إيذاء الجار.
And from these major sins is harming the neighbor.
تقدم معنا أنه يجب الإحسان إلى الجار.
And as I preceded that we explained, you have to treat the neighbor well.
أما إيذاءه فمن كبائر الذنوب.
As for treating him, as for harming him, then it is from the major sins.
وفي صحيح مسلم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And in صحيح مسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated.
والله لا يؤمن. والله لا يؤمن. والله لا يؤمن. قيل من هو يا رسول الله؟
He said, I swear by Allah, he doesn't believe. I swear by Allah, he doesn't believe. I swear by Allah, he doesn't believe. They said, who, Messenger of Allah?
قال من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه الذي لا يأمن جاره دواهي ومشاكله هذا والله لا يؤمن والله لا يؤمن والله لا يؤمن.
The neighbor who is not free from your problems when you're harming him, wallahi, I swear by Allah that he doesn't believe.
فلا يجوز إزعاجه بصوت.
So it's not permissible to harm him by the raising of your voice.
ولا برائحة.
نعم. By making loud noises or having a foul odors, foul stenches.
ولا برائحة.
And not with foul odors and stenches.
كان يفتح من المصنع داخل بيته له روائح تؤذي الجار.
Such as if a person that has some type of a workshop, a workplace inside of his home, and the odor it harms the neighbor.
ولا يؤذي جاره بالاطلاع والنظر إلى عوراته.
And he doesn't harm the neighbor by trying to look at the neighbor's private parts.
ويجوز أن يفعل ما لا بد له منه.
And it's permissible for him to do what he's in need of doing.
كما لو أراد أن يرمم داخل بيته أو أن يصلح شيئا.
كالذي نعم. Like the one who wanted to fix his home or remodel his home and like these things.
فاحتاج مثلا إلى أن يهدم جدار داخل بيته.
So perhaps like the one who needs to destroy, knock down a wall in his house.
وهدم الجدار هذا سيزعج الجار وهو يهدم الجدار.
And him knocking down his wall, this neighbor may hear him.
لكن هذا عمل مؤقت ولا بد منه.
But this is an affair that is temporary. It's temporary, has limits, and he has to do it.
فلو قال الجار أنا أريد أن أنام.
And the neighbor may say, I want to go to sleep.
أقول حتى يعني إلى متى تنام؟ لا بد أن أنا أهدم هذا الجدار. هذا أمر أنا مضطر إليه.
He says that you know, you want to sleep, but I have to knock down this wall. It's something that I have to do.
لكن بشكل مزعج وبساعات الراحة يهدم أو يصدر أصوات مزعجة هذا الإيذاء المحرم.
But if he does this in the times when it's not common time to do it or times of rest and the like of these things, then then at this point it becomes harm towards the neighbor.
فكل ما تعارف عليه الناس أنه من الإيذاء يجب على المسلم أن يتقي الله في جاره ولا يؤذيه.
So everything that is known amongst the people that it is harmful to the people, then the person should abstain from doing this with his neighbor.
حتى لو كان الجار كافرا يجب الإحسان إليه وكف الأذى عنه.
Even if your neighbor was a kafir, you still have to treat him well and abstain from harming him.
ومن الكبائر أيضا ظلم الناس في الدماء والأموال والأعراض.
And from the major sins is oppressing the people concerning their blood, their wealth, and their honor.
يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated.
كل المسلم على المسلم حرام.
Every Muslim to another Muslim is sacred.
دمه وماله وعرضه.
His blood, his wealth, and his honor.
وفي الصحيحين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم النحر.
And in the Sahihain, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he stated on the day of the
يوم النحر.
The day of sacrifice.
اليوم العاشر من ذي الحجة يوم العيد الأضحى.
The 10th of ذي الحجة, the عيد الأضحى.
قال لهم وهو في الحج عليه الصلاة والسلام أي يوم هذا؟
He said to them and they were on Hajj عليه الصلاة والسلام. He said to them, what day is this?
هو معروف يوم النحر ويقول لهم أي يوم من هذا.
And it was known that this day of the sacrifice. He said to them, what day is this?
قالوا فسكتنا حتى ظننا سيسميه بغير اسمه سيعطيه اسما جديدا.
And we all remained silent because perhaps they thought he was going to give this day a different name.
فقال أليس يوم النحر؟ قلنا بلى.
He said, this is not the day of sacrifice. They said, of course.
وقال ثم قال أي شهر هذا؟
And then he said, what month is this?
ما في ذي الحجة ويقول لهم أي شهر هذا عليه الصلاة والسلام.
They were in ذو الحجة and he's saying to them, what month is this عليه الصلاة والسلام.
قالوا فسكتنا حتى أن ظننا أنه سيسميه بغير اسمه.
And they all were smiling and thinking that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will give this month another name.
فقال ليس شهر الله الحرام؟ قالوا بلى.
And he said, is this not the sacred month of Allah? And he said, certainly it is.
قالوا أي بلد هذه؟
And he said, what city is this? What land is this?
وهم في مكة. قالوا فسكتنا حتى ظننا أنه سيسميه بغير اسمه.
And it was Mecca, and he said we all remain silent because we thought that perhaps he would give it a different name.
قال ليس بلد الله الحرام؟ قلنا بلى.
He said is this not the sacred land of Allah? And he said certainly it is.
فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن دماءكم وأموالكم وأعراضكم حرام عليكم كحرمة يومكم هذا في شهركم هذا في بلدكم هذا.
And then he stated that your blood, your wealth, and your honor, all these things are sacred to you, just like the sanctity of this day of yours, in this month of yours, in this city of yours.
والعرب قبل حتى قبل الإسلام يعظمون اليوم الحرام والشهر الحرام والبلد الحرام.
And the Arab, even before the days of Islam, they used to magnify, extol this day in this month in this land.
حتى أن أحدهم يرى قاتل أبيه في الحرم. فلا يمسه بشيء.
To the point that a person may see a person killing his father and to
حتى أن أحدهم يرى.
To the point that one of them will see a person killing his father.
قاتل أبيه رجل قد قتل أباه. يرى القاتل.
هذا ما أقول إذا قدرت.
Like, to the point that the one who killed his father in the haram, he saw him in the haram.
فلا يمسه شيء تعظيما للحرام.
So they won't do anything to him out of reverence and out of respect for the haram.
فانظروا كيف بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عظم حرمة المسلم. فقال إن دماءكم وأموالكم وأعراضكم حرام عليكم. كحرمة يومكم هذا في شهركم هذا في بلدكم هذا.
So look at how the Prophet ﷺ is magnifying this affair here, looking at the reverence and how sacred he is taking the person's blood and wealth and honor to be. And he's saying that the sanctity is like this day of yours and this month of yours and this city of yours.
فحقوق الناس لها شأن عظيم عند الله عز وجل.
So the rights of the people, its affair with Allah is it has a high and lofty status.
وفي صحيح مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه.
And in صحيح مسلم عن حديث أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه.
عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال أتدرون من المفلس؟
On the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he stated, do you know who the bankrupt person is?
قال المفلس فينا من لا متاع له ولا درهم. لا عنده أساس في بيته ولا عنده دراهم أموال.
And they said that the bankrupt person is the one who doesn't have any commodities, nor that he has any dirham. He doesn't have any currency.
فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام المفلس من أمتي من يأتي يوم القيامة.
And المفلس من؟
من أمتي من يأتي يوم القيامة.
Now he said the bankrupt one is one who's going to come from my ummah on the day of resurrection.
بصلاة وصيام وزكاة.
With prayer, with fasting, with zakat.
جاء وقد سفك دم هذا.
And he's going to come and he spilled the blood of this one.
وشتم هذا.
And he reviled that one.
وضرب هذا.
And he struck that one.
فيؤخذ لهذا من حسناته ولهذا من حسناته.
So these individuals, they're going to come and take from his good deeds and take from his good deeds and take from his good deeds.
حتى إذا فنيت حسناته.
Till when all of his good deeds have been depleted.
أخذ من سيئاتهم فطرحت عليه فطرح في النار.
They're going to take from their own bad deeds and put them on his slate, and then he will be thrown into the fire of hell.
هذا هو المفلس الحقيقي.
This is the one who is truly bankrupt.
الذي يخسر حسناته يوم القيامة.
The one who his good deeds comes with his good deeds on their resurrection.
وتلقى عليه سيئات الآخرين.
This one who loses his good deeds on their resurrection, and others he takes the bad deeds of others.
لماذا؟ لأنه ظلمهم.
So why? Because he oppressed them.
والظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And oppression is darkness on the day of resurrection, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated.
يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام إياكم الظلم فإن الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة.
And he said, beware of oppression, for oppression is darkness on the day of resurrection.
ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام من كان عنده لأخيه مظلمة فليتحلل منه. إذا يطلب منه السماح والعفو فليتحلل منه.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated that whoever has some type of oppression, if you will, a مظلمة, ظلم. Whoever has some type of oppression against his brother, then he should seek to fix the problem with him that have oppressed him.
فليتحلل منه من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا دينار ولا درهم وإنما الحسنات والسيئات.
So he should correctly as a person in before a day comes where there is no dinar or dirham, there is no currency, and only thing that can be taken is good deeds.
الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة على المسلم أن يتقي ظلم الناس في دمائهم وأموالهم وأعراضهم.
So oppression is darkness on their resurrection, and a person should abstain from or oppressing people concerning their blood, their wealth, and their honor.
ومن الكبائر شرب المسكر.
And from the major sins is drinking or taking intoxicants.
والخمر حرمه الله عز وجل.
And intoxicants have been prohibited by Allah عز وجل.
وسمي بأم الخبائث.
And it has been called the mother of filth.
وذلك لأن شارب الخمر يفعل أشياء كثيرة.
And that is because the one who drinks or takes these intoxicants, he will do many different things.
ربما يتكلم بكلام الشرك والكفر.
Perhaps he will say statements that are shirk and kufr.
ويعوق والديه.
Treat his parents poorly.
ويقتل الأبرياء.
He will kill people who are innocent.
ويفعل الزنا والفواحش.
And he will fall into fornication and vile heinous acts.
ربما اعتدى على محارمه بالفواحش.
Maybe he will transgress against his maharam, those people that are under his responsibility, with these vile heinous acts.
لماذا؟ لأنه لا عقل له.
Why? Because he doesn't have his faculties with him.
سميت الخمر خمرا لأنها تخامر العقل أي تغطيه.
And the khamr, these intoxicants, the word is called khamr because it covers a person's intellect.
والكفار يوم القيامة يقولون لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير.
And the kuffar are going to say in their resurrection that if we would use the intellect or if we heard, we wouldn't be amongst the dwellers of the fire of hell.
فالعقل نعمة عظيمة.
So the intellect is a tremendous blessing.
يميز به الإنسان ما ينفعه مما يضره.
That a person is able to distinguish with it that which will benefit him from that which will harm him.
والشيطان سول الإنسان وزي له سوء عمله فأمره أن يشرب ما يذهب عقله.
So the shaitan, he brings this delusion, and he beautifies for him these actions so that he performs these actions that are not good.
إن من أسوأ الشتائم أن يقول إنسان لغيره يا مجنون يا من لا عقل لك.
And from the worst type of reviling, of speaking ill about a person, if you say to him that you are crazy or you don't have any intellect.
بينما يذهب السكران فيشرب الخمر فيذهب عقله بماله.
And then while this person who he drinks these intoxicants and he becomes intoxicated because of it and his wealth is.
وقد لعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الخمر عشرة.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has cursed 10 people in relative to intoxication.
لعن شاربها.
He cursed the one who drinks it.
وعاصرها.
The one who takes it.
ومعتصرها الذي يطلب أن تصنع له.
And the one who requests for it to be made.
وحاملها.
The one who carries it.
والمحمولة له.
بمح.
محمولة له.
محمول. The one who carries it.
و...
The one who's carrying it too.
وبائعها.
The one who sells it.
ومشتريها.
The one who buys it.
فهم عشرة قد لعنوا على لسان الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنهم تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان.
And these 10 people have been cursed by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم because they have cooperated with one another in sin and transgression.
وكان الخمر مباحا في بداية الإسلام.
In the beginning of Islam, the intoxicants they were permissible.
وكان العرب يشربونه قبل الإسلام.
And the Arabs used to drink it before Islam.
لكن ليس كلهم هناك منهم من لا يشربه.
But it wasn't all of them. Amongst them were those who didn't drink it.
فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما شربه قبل الإسلام.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he didn't drink it before Islam.
وأبو بكر الصديق ما شربه قبل الإسلام.
And Abu Bakr al-Siddiq he didn't drink خمر intoxicants before Islam.
مر على رجل فرآه قد يعب فرآه يعبث بغائطه سكران يعبث بغائطه.
So he passed by man one day. What kind of?
يعبث بغائط. الغائط الفضلة تأخذ الإنسان وكان يلعب بالغائط.
يعبث.
يلعب بالغائط.
Now he was like playing around with his own excrement, his own feces.
فكره ذلك أبو بكر الصديق فما شرب الخمرة.
So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq he didn't like this, so he never drank intoxicants.
ثم بعد ذلك سأل الناس عن الخمر يريدون فيها حكما.
Then after that, people began asking about intoxicants. They wanted a ruling concerning it.
فبين الله عز وجل لهم بأن الإثم الذي فيها أكبر من النفع.
Then Allah عز وجل clarified to them that the sin in it is greater than the benefit in it.
فقال جل وعلا يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر قل فيهما إثم كبير ومنافع للناس وإثمهما أكبر من نفعهما.
And Allah عز وجل mentions that they ask you about intoxicants and in gambling and that it has sin in it and benefit in it, but the sin in it is greater than the benefit that's in it.
والمنافع التي فيها التجارة.
And the benefit that's in it is commerce with it.
المرحلة الثالثة حرمت الخمر في أوقات الصلاة.
And the third stage here is drinking this intoxication during the time of salah.
فقال جل وعلا ولا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى حتى تعلموا ما تقولون.
And Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, don't come near the salat while you are intoxicated and you don't know that what you do.
فما كان أحدهم يستطيع أن يشرب الخمر قبل الصلاة.
So one of them now they were not allowed to drink intoxicants before the time of the salat.
إلا أنهم يشربونها بعد العشاء لأن صلاة الفجر بعيد وقتها عن صلاة العشاء.
And they would drink these intoxicants after عشاء because the time of عشاء was far from the time of فجر.
المرحلة الرابعة حرم تحريما قطعيا. فقال جل وعلا.
In the fourth stage, it was prohibited in entirety, and he, Jalla wa'ala, stated,
إنما الخمر والميسر,
certainly intoxicants in gambling,
والأنصاب والأزلام, النصب الذي يعبد من دون الله, والأزلام, السهام التي كانوا يقترعون بها فيفعل, يفعل أو لا يفعل, من فعل الجاهلية. يأتي بجراب في ثلاث سهام, طالع من هنا, هنا هنا, حط جراب في ثلاث سهام, واحد, أحمر واحد أصفر واحد أخضر فإذا وجد أحمر لا يفعل يريد أن يسافر أو يفعل أحمر لا ما يفعل أخضر يفعل فجعل كأن التوفيق وعدم توفيقه في هذه القرعة التي يفعلها هذه اسمها أزلام
lottery. I wanted to say pulling lots but pulling lots. نعم.
إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان نجاسة من عمل الشيطان.
So all these things, these intoxicants and the gambling and this action that is similar to pulling lots, all of these are repulsive, repugnant acts, impure acts that are from the shaytan.
إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة. الخمر والميسر.
And the shaytan he just wants to increase enmity amongst you with these intoxicants and gambling.
ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة.
He wants to prevent you from the remembrance of Allah and the salah.
فهل أنتم منتهون؟
So will you then not finish? So then will you then not stop?
فقال الله قال الصحابة انتهينا ربنا.
So the Sahaba then they stated that we're finished all the way.
ثم بعد ذلك سكبوا الخمور في سكك المدينة.
And then they poured their intoxicants out, their wine liquors out into the streets of Medina.
وتركوا شربها.
And they abandoned drinking it.
ومن شرب الخمر بعد ذلك أخذ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعاقبه.
And whoever drank intoxicants after that, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would punish them.
فيأمر به فيجلد بالجريد والنعال. جريد يعني سعف النخل.
نعم.
والنعال الذي يشرب الخمر.
So he will be so this person he will be beaten with the date palms, with the branches of date palms and the likes of these things.
فجلد شارب الخمر نحو 40 جلدة.
So the person who drinks intoxicants, he will be struck with it about 40 times.
ثم بعد ذلك كثر شرب الخمر في زمن عمر الخطاب.
Then after that, this drinking of intoxicants began to become prominent again during the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu.
فاستشار كبار الصحابة وهو واحد منهم اجتمعوا فقرروا أن يجلد 80 جلدة.
So they took consultation amongst the companions, and then the punishment was increased to 80 lashes.
نعم. طيب. لعب القمار وهو الميسر أيضا هذا من كبار الذنوب.
Then you have لعب القمار and it's gambling.
وهو أكل أموال الناس بالباطل.
It's one of the sins and it's taking the people's wealth without due right.
وتضيع مال النفس يعني يضيع إنسان ماله ويضيع أهله وأولاده.
And it is a person wasting his own wealth and being neglectful of his wife and his children's family.
وهو من عمل الشيطان.
And it is from the orders of the shaitan.
يريد أن يوقع بين الناس العداوة والبغضاء.
And he wants there to be enmity and hatred amongst the people.
ويصدهم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة.
And prevent them from the remembrance of Allah and from the salat.
فيجعل بين المتقامرين عداوة وبغضاء وربما قتل أحدهم أو قتل بعضهم بعضا.
So again, he wants to have this. He wants to produce this enmity and hatred amongst the people, so they have this dislike, so they detest each other to the point that they might even begin fighting, killing one another.
ويعلم الناس البطالة حيث أنه يجلس فقط يلعب القمار لا ينتج ولا يصنع ولا يتعلم فقط يلعب القمار.
And to the point where they just involve themselves and just things that are idle, and they don't work and they don't do things for themselves to help themselves in life. All they want to do is gamble.
والغريب في أمر هؤلاء الذين يلعبون القمار والميسر.
And that was is strange concerning these people who involve themselves in القمار and in gambling.
يدير طاولة الميسر على طاولة القمار يلعب على طاولة القمار ويلجأ إلى الله يا رب يا رب يا رب. My God.
So they involve themselves in his gambling, and then when the harm comes up doing so, they return back to Allah saying, "Oh my Lord, oh my Lord."
They don't know Allah Azza wa Jal.
Except that when they're in a state of gambling and they're losing now, this is when they know their Lord and they come asking Allah to help them from what they're losing.
فإذا خسر زاد في اللعب يريد تعويض خسارته.
So once he begins to lose, he wants to play more to try to get to he wants to play more.
ربما أخذ قرضا ربويا من أجل أن يلعب القمار.
Maybe he'll take a loan out of riba or the likes of these things to come back and do more gambling.
ربما باع بيته من أجل أن يلعب القمار.
Maybe he'll sell his house to come back and play more games with this gambling.
ربما باع حاجاته الأساسية من أجل القمار.
Maybe he will sell his foundless things that he fundamentally needs in his life in order to come back and gamble.
فهو من عمل الشيطان لذلك جاء الإسلام في بتحريمه والمنع منه.
And this is from the orders of the shaitan, and we can understand from this why it is something that has been prohibited.
ثم من كبار الذنوب الغيبة.
Then from the major sins is غيبة, backbiting.
وهذه التي لا يكاد يسلم منها أحد بين مقل ومكثر.
And this one it is though almost no one is saved from it. It's only those who do a little bit and those who do it more.
مع أنها من كبائر الذنوب.
While it's from amongst the major sins.
قال الله عز وجل ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا.
And Allah عز وجل, He says that some of you should not backbite others. You shouldn't backbite each other.
أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه؟ شبه المتكلم بأخيه وهو غائب كالذي يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا.
Would one of you like to eat the dead flesh of his brother? And here there's a similarity being drawn between a person eating the flesh of his dead brother who is absent.
أكل البشر من أكبر يعني الأشياء القبيحة في نفسية الناس.
That eating the flesh of a person is something that is the most repulsive thing to do in the sight of the people.
وأي بشر يأكل أخيه لحم أخيه.
So what person now will eat the flesh of his brother?
ويأكله ميتا.
And then eat him when he's dead.
الميتة وهي ميتة لو كانت شاة أو بقرة فإن النفوس السليمة عفوة. فكيف إذا كانت يعني جثة إنسان ميت وأخوك؟ فقبح الله هذا الفعل الذي قد استصغناه جميعا لكنه عند الله قبيح جدا.
So even if the deceased was an animal, like a sheep or the likes of anything, you saw a dead there, this is something that would be distasteful to us. So how about now when this person who is deceased is your brother and is a human being as well, this is something that is repulsive to us.
وشبه الله عز وجل المغتاب المعتدى عليه بالغيبة بالميت لأن الميت لا يدافع عن نفسه وكذاك الغائب لا يدافع عن نفسه.
And the person whose flesh is being eaten here, the person who's being backbitten here, he's being described as one whose flesh is being eaten. The end. Because the dead one is not responding in the same way one who's absent is not responding.
وقد عرف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الغيبة بتعريف واضح لا يحتاج إلى زيادة بيان.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he defined الغيبة back by with a clear clarification. There is no addition of information that is needed after it.
فقال أتدرون ما الغيبة؟ قال الله ورسوله أعلم.
He said, do you all know what الغيبة backbiting is? And he said, Allah and His Messenger knows best.
قال الغيبة ذكرك أخاك بما يكره.
And he stated that غيبه backbiting is to mention something about your brother that he dislikes.
قال يا رسول الله أرأيت إن كان في أخي ما أقول.
And they said, O Messenger of Allah, do you see even if it, our brother he has in him what I say about him is true?
كما لو وصفته بالشيء هو متصف به.
As if you describe him in a fashion that it is his description.
فقال إن كان كما تقول فقد اغتبته.
And he said, if it is if you have said, then you have backbit him.
وإن لم يكن كما تقول فقد بهدت أي كذبت عليه بهتانا.
And if it is not as you stated, and if it is not as you stated, then you have slandered him. You have lied against him.
وأمر الناس غريب جدا.
And the affair of the people is strange, perplexing.
مع وضوح هذا الحديث أمر الناس غريب جدا.
Even with the clarity of this hadith, the affair of the people is perplexing.
إذا تكلم أحدهم بغيبة أخيه.
If one of them speaks and he's backbiting his brother.
وذم وقال عنه فيه كذا وفيه كذا.
And he's like just praising him and saying he's like this and he's like that.
فقيل له لا تقل ذلك في أخيك لا تغتب أخاك. قيل له لا تغتب أخاك.
He said to him, don't backbite your brother. Don't say this about your brother.
قال أنا صادق بما أقول. لقد وصفته بما فيه.
He said, I'm being truthful when I'm saying. I'm describing him in a fashion that he actually is.
فيصف نفسه بالغيبة كما وصفها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال إن كان بي ما تقول فقد اغتبته.
So he's describing himself in exactly the way the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated. And he says that if the person has within him what you're saying about him, then you have backbit him.
فبعضهم لا ينتهي إذا ذكر بالله وقيل حرام اتق الله لا تقتل لا ينتهي لا يتوقف.
So some of the people they don't finish here, they don't stop here. If you say to them, you know, stop backbiting, stop backbiting, they don't halt here.
وقد يقول ما قلت شيئا ما قلت إلا الحقيقة.
They say that I haven't said anything, I'm just speaking the truth.
إن كنت تقول الحقيقة فهذه الغيبة.
So if you are saying that was the truth, then this is what غيبة backbiting is.
وبعضهم يقول أنا مستعد أن أقول هذا الكلام أمامه وفي عينه.
And a person will say
And
the person says that I'm ready. I'll say this in front of him.
حتى لو كنت مستعدا,
even if you're ready to say it.
ولو كنت صادقا,
and you're truthful.
ولو وصفته بما فيه,
and you describe him with that which is actually in him.
هذه الغيبة التي نهى الله عنها ورسوله.
This is the غيبة. This is the backbiting that has been prohibited by Allah and His Messenger.
فالواجب علينا أن نتقي الله تبارك وتعالى.
So it's obligatory upon us to fear Allah تبارك وتعالى.
وإن الغيبة فنون يتفنن بها الناس.
And فنون. So this legal backbiting is like a science that the people that they involve themselves in.
بين الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله بعض منها.
So Sheikh Muslim ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله تعالى, he has explained some of it.
فبعضهم يظهر الشفقة على المغتاب ثم يغتابه.
So some of the people they will show compassion for this individual before they go ahead and backbite.
فيقول مسكين فلان, والله مسكين فلان, لقد فيه حصل له كذا وكذا, ثم يذكر ما فيه.
So this person, let's say this person is miskeen, he's like poor, and he listens, then he'll say this, and then he'll go and explain it. But this situation occurred, and this and that happened. So you say he's a good person. Then he goes and backbites him. And some of them will make supplication for him before they backbite him.
فيقول فلان غفر الله له, غفر الله, الله يستر عليه, الله يستر عليه, ثم يغتابه.
So the person will say, oh Allah forgive him, oh Allah forgive him, oh Allah facilitate this for him. Then after making supplication for him, then they go ahead and backbite him.
وبعضهم يظهر انه قد غار على الدين, فيقول اعوذ بالله, اعوذ بالله, فلان يفعل كذا وكذا, وزوجته تفعل كذا وكذا.
And a person, another person will try to show that he had like jealousy for the religion, and he'll try to say that after showing his jealousy for the religion, they're going to say that this person did this and his wife did that, and so on and so forth.
وبعضهم إذا أراد أن يغتاب دعا الله عز وجل أن لا تكتب عليه غيبة, فيقول اللهم لا تجعل غيبة, اللهم لا تجعل غيبة, ثم يغتاب.
So then another person, he'll make supplication to Allah that what he's about to say is not ghibah, make supplication to Allah, Allah will make this ghibah, Allah will make this ghibah, and then he'll go and backbite.
وبعضهم يقول سأقول عن فلان هي ليست غيبة, لا ليست من باب الغيبة, وسأقول عنه لكن هي ليست من باب الغيبة, ثم يغتابه.
And the person is saying that, I'm saying this, but it's not from the aspect of ghibah, it's not from the aspect of backbiting, and then he'll go ahead and backbite.
يظن أنه إذا قال ليست من باب الغيبة لن تكون غيبة.
So the person says that if you said it's not from the aspect of ghibah, that it suddenly is not going to be ghibah.
أو إذا دعا له لن تكون غيبة.
Or that if he supplicates for him, it's not going to be backbite.
أو إذا أظهر أنه مشفق عليه مسكين فلان مسكين أنه لن تكون غيبة, هي كلها غيبة.
Or if he shows that he has some type of compassion for him and says the person he's poor, he's heedless and the life step is not going to be backbite.
وبعضهم يريد أن يمدح نفسه فيتخذ غيبة الناس مدحا لنفسه.
So some of the people, they want to like bring praise to themselves, so they backbite the people speaking ill about them, trying to bring praise to their own selves.
فيقول فلان غبي, يعني يقصد أنه أنا الذكي.
So they say, I'll translate that as it is. They'll say so-and-so is stupid, saying, trying to indicate that I'm smart.
أو فلان لا يفهم, فلان لا يفهم.
So they say so-and-so, he doesn't understand.
لو قال أنا أفهم, الناس لا تستصيغ منه ذلك.
So if he says, I understand, the people will not accept that from him.
لكن يقول عن غيره أنه لا يفهم, إشارة لأنه أنا الذي أفهم.
But if he says another person doesn't understand, it will be understood from us that he understands.
أو فلان بخيل, فلان بخيل, يعني أنا الكريم.
And he says that this person is stingy. The understanding is that I am generous.
أو فلان لا يغار على عرضه, والعياذ بالله, لا يغار على عرضه, يعني أنا الذي أغار على عرضي.
And the person doesn't have a... تعبت؟ لا, نستمع.
تعبنا المترجم.
And the person states that this person here, he doesn't have a jealousy over his honor. He doesn't have jealousy over his honor, meaning that I have jealousy over my honor.
فيتخذ بالطعن بالآخرين وغيبتهم سلما لأن يمدح نفسه.
So this person here, he takes the backbiting of others as a step to be praised himself.
وبعضهم لا غرض له في الغيبة إلا أن يتسلى تسلية.
And some of the people, recreation. Nah. Some of the people, they don't involve themselves in ghibah and backbiting except that it's like this recreation for him, like a pastime.
فلا يحل له المجلس ولا ينبسط في رحلته وجلوسه إلا أن يغتاب الناس.
So the person when he's in his sittings and in his gatherings and his life is whenever he's in it, she begins to backbite the people.
حتى قيل أن الغيبة يتسلى بها المغتاب كما يتسلى صاحب المعصية أو صاحب أصحاب المعاصي بمعاصيهم. فالذي يزني يتسلى وينبسط بالزنا, والذي يشرب الخمر ينبسط بشرب الخمر, والذي يأكل الناس أموال الناس ويغشهم يتسلى بكسب المال بالباطل, والذي يغتاب فإنه يتلذذ ويتسلى بالغيبة كما يتسلى سائر أصحاب المعاصي.
So the person who backbites, he begins to take joy, to enjoy this backbiting, to take it as a recreation activity, the same way those who commit sins begin to enjoy the sins that they commit. such as the person with fornication, he begins to enjoy this fornication. The person who involves himself in drinking intoxicants, he begins to enjoy it in the likes of these things. So the person who backbites, he begins to enjoy this backbiting, the same way who one commits sins begins to enjoy the sin that they commit.
ومن الكبائر النميمة وهي نقل كلام بين الناس من أجل الإفساد بينهم.
And from the major sins is namima, is tale carrying, and this is the individual who spreads information amongst the people in order to cause corruption amongst the people, discord.
فهذه قد جاء فيها وعيد شديد عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And in this there is a threat, there is an immense threat of punishment that has come from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ففي الصحيحين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يدخل الجنة نمام.
And in the Sahihain, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he stated, the one will not enter Jannah who is a namam, a tail carrier.
وقد وصف الله بعض الكفار فقال هماز مشاء بنميم, يعني يهمز الناس بالكلمات السيئة ويمشي بينهم بالنميمة ليقطع العلاقات ويفسد بينهم.
And Allah Ta'ala has described the kufar as such, where they speak ill amongst the people, and then they go carrying these tales amongst the people.
ومر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بقبرين وقال إنهما ليعذبان, أي صاحب القبرين يعذبان.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by two graves, and he stated that the inhabitants of the two graves, that they were being punished for something major.
وما يعذبان في كبير, يعني بالنظر الناس الذي كان يفعله ليس بكبير, بلى إنه كبير.
And they're not being punished for something major, meaning when the people are looking at them and what they'll be punished for, they won't see it as being something major. Then he said, rather it is major.
أما أحدهما فكان لا يستبرئ من بوله, أنه يقول ولا يتنظف.
As for one of them, he didn't clean himself properly when he would urinate or use the bathroom.
وأما الآخر فكان يمشي بالنميمة, ينقل الكلام ليفسد بين الناس.
As for the other one, he would involve himself in namima and tail carrying, spreading tales amongst the people in order to cause discord.
ثم أخذ جريرة الرطبة فشقها نصفين وغرس في كل قبر واحدة.
Then he took like a stick. He took a stick and placed it on these graves.
فقال لعله يخفف عليهما أي من العذاب ما لم ييبسا.
And he said this hoping that their punishment would be decreased until these sticks dried out.
فتأمل كيف عذب هذا الإنسان في قبره من أجل النميمة.
So contemplate, reflect upon the inhabitant of the grave he was being punished for involving himself in namima, tail carrying.
يقول وغير ذلك مما نهى الله عز وجل عنه أو رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني من المنهيات والكبائر.
To other than that, from what Allah عز وجل has prohibited and His Messenger also has prohibited صلى الله عليه وسلم.
تم الكلام على الدرس السابع عشر.
So we completed the 17th lesson.
وبقي الدرس الثامن عشر وهو يتعلق بصلاة الجنازة وأحكامها.
And we have the 18th lesson here, and it involves the ruling of the deceased and praying over him the likes.
وسيكون هذا هو الدرس الأخير في هذه الرسالة الطيبة المباركة الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة.
And this is going to be the last lesson in these blessed lessons in this good book here, important lessons for every Muslim.
الآن نستريح قليلا ونرجع لكم الساعة السابعة إن شاء الله.
So now we're going to take a rest. We're going to take a break and come back at 7 o'clock, inshallah.
ويبقى لنا في جدول هذه الزيارة التي أسأل الله عز وجل جعلها مباركة وخالص الوجه الكريم غدا إن شاء الله. يبقى.
And this current schedule that we have is going to remain. It's left of it. We're going to complete it tomorrow, inshallah.
وغدا إن شاء الله بعد الظهر.
And tomorrow, inshallah, after the ظهر.
الساعة الثانية. إلى الساعة الخامسة.
From 2 to 5 o'clock.
سيكون اللقاء مفتوحا للأسئلة والأجوبة.
We're going to have an open session for questions and answers.
فتحضروا أسئلتكم.
So you know, gather your questions.
والحاضر يبلغ الغائب.
And those who are present should inform those who are absent about this.
كل ما عندك من أسئلة تأتي به غدا إن شاء الله تعالى.
So everyone who has a question, bring your questions tomorrow, إن شاء الله تعالى.
لكن بشرطين اثنين.
But there are two conditions.
ألا تكون الأسئلة في السياسة.
No questions on any political issues.
ولا تكون الأسئلة صعبة.
And no difficult questions.
اتفقنا.
So we agree.
والله أعلم, وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.